and a few more musical vermin whose mothers we wish had had medical plans that included abortion. These singers who think they're so special, they only need one name. Bono, Sting, Jewel, Tiffany, Prince. What a crock of shit. Get a fucking last name, would you please? Yeah. You're so special. I got a nice two-word name for you. Pretentious cocksucker. How you like that? Bono, Sting. It's not bad enough these assholes' music sucks, but with no last name, you can't find out where they live to throw a fucking bomb through their window, you know? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, it's frustrating if you care about music.
Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, eats out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit. What is entertainment? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hathuri, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. Fuck off. Shut up! Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is real. The power is reawakened. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
another pack of low-grade morons who ought to be locked into portable toilets and set on fire.
The vision is real. The power is reawakening. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
That we're having some issues here, as fucking usual. But welcome to the show, everybody. A little bit of a delay. It's Conti and Kenny show on two idiots that don't know how to fucking do anything technology wise.
I know nothing.
I know less than you.
I know nothing. So. The papers are in order. Are you checking? You can hear it.
And now he's working on getting it on the TuneIn app. So Mitch is gonna stream the. I don't know. Whatever. I don't even know what the fuck Mitch is doing, but he's smarter than we are, and he'll be able to help us. So welcome to the show, everybody. It's the Conti and Kenny show.
Just because
I'm in a fucking good mood.
Slammed your phone down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good because like I can afford a new iPhone.
I know.
Just slam it down, stupid. Because that's what I could do. Because I'm pissed off because my dopey fucking free career, whatever I'm doing here, means nothing. And we've been doing this since 2005. We haven't made a dollar. We can't get fucking anything to work, right? We can't even get guests in here. We can't even get people to fucking call this show. Can't even get people to call. You know what I mean? People we know that are like fucking really great comics, and I mean, we have a good comic coming in tonight. Sorry about that, George. But like normally, we have a lot of fucking friends that are
just
like
insult the guest. I know, I first guest we've had. In
I know,
two months.
I fucking first guest in a while. But no, but I'm saying like we have some guys that we fucking know that are pretty fucking heavy in the business, and we can't get any of them to fucking call or come
do
in.
Every so
no, we
often.
Don't. When was the last time? What was it? Voss and Bonnie called in?
I don't remember.
They called in a while ago. They were promoting their movie, and I love them, too. I don't know. I'm just fucking... Ugh, whatever. How you guys doing?
Well, good? Get better. Get better. You have a really cool shirt on, though.
How's everybody doing? Yeah, it's great. Oh, yeah. I got my... what is it?
Folsom Prison.
My Johnny Cash Folsom t-shirt. Prison shirt.
I like it.
Yeah. I like it, too. It's very nice.
Looks comfy.
Makes me look fucking mean or something.
Looks comfy. That makes you feel any better.
Yeah, thanks. Means I have to buy a shirt so fucking big that it's fucking like a pajama. Great. It's fucking awesome. Thank you.
You got to get out of here.
So, well, thanks for checking out the show, everybody. It's fucking 7:14. I'm finished. 3 minutes. I have nothing else. I have nothing else to say.
What made you go to a Mountain Dew?
I need
Diet
a little,
Mountain Dew.
A little energy.
Need...
But I still got my water there.
Oh,
I got
I
my big water.
Say.
I just want a little bit of... The only time I'll have soda...
What is this, Deliverance? You know, that's true. That's all they drink up there. That's what I call it, Mountain Dew. That's all they fucking drink.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In the,
the
Adirondacks.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's true.
This is the only soda I'll drink occasionally, maybe every couple days, if I didn't have coffee, and I just need a little kick. So, here's my kick.
And now that's going to foam up in your mouth, and then it's gonna, you're going to belch in about 30 seconds.
This is great radio, isn't this?
Pack all the air
in. Great fucking radio. Wow, to burp?
You're going to. It's inevitable.
I can burp whenever
it's
I want.
Be, yeah, it's going to be
I'm talented.
Right in the middle of a
very talented.
Zilch story.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But we do have a friend of ours coming in later on. George Jenkins, comic, actor. I actually, I'm watching the Jets pregame on Friday or Saturday. And motherfucker comes on my TV in a national commercial for like a diamond insurance or something like that. And I'm like, that's George. That's my friend. He's funny.
That's what happens when you're about to make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just come on by here on your train to fucking Successville. And just take a stop by the gift shop here called the Conti and Kenny Show. And
last week you were so excited about the podcast and everything, and now everything.
Yeah, we doing a podcast or something, right? Everything's different. Yeah, something. I don't know. I'm fine. No, I'm good. So everything's cool. So, here's a phone number I'll give out, just nobody will dial it anyway. 3302 cringe. Couldn't even make it any fucking easier for you fucking people. Don't even have to know the fucking the numbers. Just the letters. Is this fucking working yet? All right, good. It's 8 minutes behind, but that's cool. I don't care. Whatever. As long as people are getting to listen to it, it's a little bit of a delay. It's like 3 minutes. So, yeah. What was I saying? I don't even care.
you were all out of sorts.
And yeah. I did the new intro with the Carlinisms
in
there.
Yeah,
we're going to have a new thing. We're going to have a Carlin right before the show. And because, you know, Carlin's the reason why me and you are doing anything. Stand-up, radio, because of Carlin.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're both huge Carlin fans and inspirees of
inspirited,
inspirities,
inspired.
We're both. No, but is there a word for if you're inspired
to
by
be
somebody?
Inspired, inspired,
inspired,
inspired,
inspired,
inspired,
inspired.
Sounds right.
It sounds terrible, but yeah. So what am I supposed to do? Yeah, well, there's some things.
It's the reason ahead. Why because we pay a little homage to not an homage. We pay a little respect
to the greatest.
We decided, yeah,
the fucking greatest.
I seen him.
You know what?
Got to meet him. I seen him 10 times live.
I got to meet him, and I have to say, I understand how great Pryor was, but no. Stop with the Richard Pryor greatest comic ever. Stop.
No.
If there's a trinity, there's a holy trinity of comedy. It's Carlin, Pryor, and then fucking, what's his face?
Bruce.
Lenny Bruce in a sense where all modern comedy is because of him. And
all modern comedy is done the way it is. Because
right,
of him.
Because of
not
him.
That his stuff was funny.
I think some
no,
of his
no,
stuff
some,
was good.
But it wasn't. It was groundbreaking.
Yes.
Paved the way. But like I wouldn't. I'm not going to sit through a two hour Lenny Bruce special.
Right.
You know what I mean.
But he did it. He did it when nobody else did.
He wasn't,
you know,
blowing,
I mean,
up balloons.
He's the Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, sure, may not be the greatest player of all time, but he like. Every stat that he has is just blown up because of what he went through. I think that's a great analogy. Jackie Robinson, everything he went through to be the first.
And it was one of your own, so you feel even better about it.
Of course I do. Yes. Was I upset about something? But, yes, Lenny Bruce is the Jackie Robinson, and then Carlin, then Pryor, and then from there you could go all different ways.
Yeah.
You could go Woody Allen. They could go.
After that,
you could go Bill Cosby, and I think they're all in that top 10
after,
type of thing.
Yeah, after those become personal preference, personal
but,
taste.
You know, I get it, and I watched the special. Did you watch the documentary on Pryor?
I've watched a million, probably.
Brand new one. It was really good. Like, it was just great, and it was another. It kind of, and I became an inspiree again.
Inspired.
Watching him, but there was nobody. Motherfucker, like 16 HBO specials, you know. I mean, he just
hours
had
and hours.
Yeah, you know, invented basically invented observational humor,
You know what I mean? Like, there was no observational humor before Carlin, you know? I understand what Pryor did for comics, especially for black comics, but nah. You know?
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. He's number two.
Yeah.
He's right there.
Yeah.
But no.
Well, that's why we played the clips. Maybe we'll play some Pryor clips later on.
It's all about Carlin. It's all about Carlin. This show should be called the George Carlin Show with two jack-offs who like George Carlin. Love George Carlin.
When I first started, even now, even you've mentioned that some
I'm
of my...
I'm finishing my salad. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I'm eating right now. Care.
You have thrown in the towel. You've thrown in the towel. You got three quarters of an eaten salad just staring at you right next to you.
Don't care.
You're like, fuck this.
Because before that, I cared. Now I don't give a fuck.
Before the salad?
No, before this nonsense.
It was BS and after...
I can't believe it.
AS. Before salad, after salad.
I came in here in a pretty good mood. Like, all right, you know, we're going to have fun.
Yeah, we're joking a little
Mike's
bit.
Mike's not here, but, you know, we'll do a good job, and George is coming in later. And then this thing happened, and I just fucking...
Well, because right we have no one here to help fix it.
And we just suck. We shouldn't be here. I'm not here, like, literally here. Figuratively, we shouldn't be here. We should be doing a show somewhere where people pay... Or we get paid to do this. We should be getting... I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm fucking saying it.
I like it.
We should be getting paid to do this. This, I've been saying forever that we have a shitty show, and we suck, and it's okay. I'm changed. My tune has changed. We have a stellar program.
Keep going, man.
The best program on More Like Radio, the best program ever on Cringe Humor,
yeah.
And the best fucking program on TuneIn. Fuck all these podcasts. We were doing podcasts before anybody knew what a podcast was.
I'm getting a stiffy.
Don't get a stiffy when I'm fucking pontificating here. Yeah, so you want to hear a fucking good show? Listen to ours. There's no other good shows. There's no other good shows ever in the history of the world. There hasn't been one.
And our show usually doesn't start out like this.
Yes, exactly. And our show is sponsored by Texaco. Last good show?
Dick Cavett?
Nope. Uncle Milty. Last good show. The last good show ever in the history. That and Breaking Bad. Those are, and Dexter.
Red Skelton?
Yeah, and then there were some other good shows. I've just fucking had it. I just look and, you know, and we don't even fuck. It's like we do 40 minutes of prep, if that. And it's basically you have some scribble, I got some scribble, and we do a 3-hour show. We don't have a producer. We don't have anything. We have nobody running a board. I got to run the board, play dumb sound
effects.
You're
pulling back the curtain.
Yeah. We need a fucking producer. I want somebody here that can sit, monitor the chat, fucking play sound effects, help me with commercials coming in at a break.
Get us a sandwich every so often.
And get me a sandwich and fucking cover my microphone when I start eating salad. No, you be covering my microphone right now. So you don't hear that I'm eating a salad. Bullshit. But we need somebody. Somebody who wants to just, hey, Mondays. I'll be honest, man. When we had Bob and James come in here, you know, it was great. You know, it was like memories, you know. And Mike is cool. When Mike's here, it's great. But we need somebody who just strictly wants to just hang out, be that person in front of the laptop, and, you know, help us out. I'm just picking salad off of my microphone. So that's what we want, because we really do have a good show.
So you're putting it out there for everybody?
Yeah. And I'm holding back here. There's some things I want to say, but I'm not going to.
Right.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. All right, I'll say it. You're riding my coattails, and I'm sick of it. All right? Get off my coattails. You're slowing me down. No. But we just, it's a good show. We have so much good material, whether it's a 5 minutes, a 7 minutes, 10 minutes of stuff. We make a ton of promos, tons of promos. You ever listen to some other shows on other networks or whatever, and they put promos out, and it doesn't fucking, there's nothing to them. It's just sounds of their show. Of going, blah, 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 and, cunt, and you're like, and that's your promo. Listen to the douchebag show, and you're like, well, what the fuck was that? There's no content. They don't put any content out. It's just fucking hear them all scream at each other, and then put that out there and make it a fucking promo. We have good, you know what it is, dude? We don't fucking, you know what? I can't even complain that we're not making any money doing this, because we don't even fucking let anybody know. We're expecting just fucking, you know, the guy in the back of the room to be like, those two over there, they're the ones I want, smoking a cigar like we, you know.
I just happened to stumble on your show.
Right, it's the delusions of grandeur when you first become a stand-up. You think you're going to go into New York, and there's a big fat guy in the back with his, you know, with his a tight suit on.
You're next to the pictures.
Exactly, you know, like, and it just doesn't happen like that. And we haven't...
Well, the clubs we used to do it, there's a big fat guy masturbating in the back.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. And he was heckling at the same time.
And he owned the place.
And he owned the place, exactly. It's just, we don't do anything. And look, the More Like Radio thing's great. It's a great platform, and everybody's like family on here, and I love that aspect of it. But this long, nothing. Like, we're not it's like we don't make anything, and it's like, and me and you are terrible. Like, we need somebody.
We're the worst. Yeah.
We're terrible.
We are the worst.
Yeah, here, wait, here. You ready for this? This is my new idea for promotion, and we're doing it. Little Conti and Kenny stickers. That's right, kids. Get your bumper stickers. They're little 4x4 little stickers I'm going to make. It's got the logo on it and the website.
Put them on the toll booths everywhere.
You know what? Because whenever I do
one
a show...
One of those things, put them on those things if you can find one of them... telephone booths. if you can find one of those, put one on there.
Yeah.
Slap one on there.
Telephone booth.
Side of the E-train.
On a train, no post, no bills, whatever you want to do. Don't post no bills. But because the difference is...
Your grammar was wrong. It's post no bills.
What'd I say?
Don't post no bills.
Don't post no bills, motherfucker.
That's a part of Brooklyn. Don't post no bills, all right, asshole?
In Brownsville. But we were like... it's like... With all the, like, you know, with the, you know, when we get to perform and do stand-up, you know? And when you're in front of, like, you know, listen, we're doing stand-up. And, like, last weekend, I did a show. I just went up and did a spot. And it was pretty much like an amateur show.
Mm-hmm.
And for Bobby Gonzo, who runs some rooms, you know? And Bobby Gonzo was a guy that when I first started, I started out doing Bobby Gonzo rooms. I saw Gonzo at a club, and I said, look, I'm just looking for some spots. So he gave me a spot on a Saturday. It was in a hotel, in the room, and it was like seven or eight comics, mostly newer guys, a couple of, and dude, I went up at the end, and yeah, I'll say it, I smashed the place.
Moited?
Smashed the place.
Moitalized.
I never say I smashed the place, and I was pissy because the fucking show took forever, so I went up there like a fucking madman.
Just blasted the whole.
I was fucking pissed. I explained to people, because like nobody cursed. And I'm not a big cursor, but like nobody said fuck. I was like, look, you're going to hear fuck for the last comic, me, all right? And I don't know what's wrong with the word fuck. It's like little boys, we get trained with the word fuck with fire truck. It's like training for the word fuck. It's just, but I'm like, you know what? 60 people there. Hey, you know what? They'll say Conti Kenny show, blah, blah, blah. You know what? People hear it and it goes right out the window. But you know what? Now I got my little stickers. Hey, listen, don't forget if you want to check out my... My podcast, and if you want, come see me after the show. I'll give you a cute little sticker. I'm not selling them. I'm going to give them away. We're going to get 1,000 of them and just give them away. And you know what? Nobody's going to fucking put them on their car. Nothing. But you know what? They go home. They pull them out of their purse, move all the fucking, all the diuretics and the fucking birth control shit, and you pull it out.
What is it, Karen Carpenter's seed?
Yes, exactly. It's Karen Carpenter afraid of getting her brother's seed thrown into her vulva. But, and just... Oh, yeah, you know what? Because you know what? By the time people go home...
You have the Amy Winehouse of purses.
By the time they go home, they don't remember.
They may say, oh, you know, that blonde guy was real funny, Kenny. But all the things that every comic has, you say, he's been here, he's been there. Here, here's my card, or here's a sticker. Just take it. Who wouldn't take a fucking sticker? Sure. It's a cute little logo. It's got the name and the website. That's it. Done. That's my brilliant idea for self-promotion. Fucking stickers. I'm spitting out salad all over the place.
Yeah. You put the salad down 4 minutes ago, and I just saw a fucking leaf fly right to the edge.
It hasn't gotten to the third stomach yet.
Right to the edge of your teeth.
Yeah, it's called a cud fucking salad. Instead of a Cobb salad, it's a cud salad.
It looked like the Millennium Falcon coming out of that hole, and a thing tries to bite it.
It's just that we, you know, it's our fault. We should be sending shit to. I mean, I don't even know where to. Where do you even go anymore? It's like, you know, it's like there's satellite, and then there's what, terrestrial. Like, this is where it's at. But
I see what you're saying.
But we just don't. We don't fucking push it. We never push it enough. And there are, you know, thank God More Like Radio pushes us, you know, through the station. You know, we actually get people that listen to us because they're fans of More Like Radio. But
or we show up on other shows.
Well, that too. Yeah. You know, but it's just, I just had it. And, you know, we need to honestly.
This show is going so much different than I thought.
Oh, no. Look at all the
when
stuff.
You first came in.
Yeah, we're going to talk about here. Look at my notes. Breaking Bad, Dexter, Duck Dynasty, Man Cow Show, Beverly Facebook post. Look at this is nonsense. This is nonsense.
It's good stuff. It's good, wholesome, hearty stuff.
We want somebody who wants to come here, hang out. You're not going to be a silent person. It's just the studio. It's a room with a table. There's six microphones.
You know what this is basically because of the problem that we just had. Not that the person has to know how to fix the problem that we had before, but this is a lead in into this basically the half hour we've been on or 25 minutes.
That's
whatever it.
It
is. 25 minutes?
We've only been on for 25 minutes?
I think it might even
It's not 9:30 yet?
No.
I want to go home.
But this is actually some. If you're reaching out, to the people that listen. You know, you're not just babbling about you're disgruntled or anything.
And,
like
and I have to tell you something. After the last couple of weeks, we've had some good shows. And to find out that we have fucking, like we actually have people that have been listening to the show for years.
Yeah.
Besides people.
It's awesome, man.
Besides people we know personally. See, that's my thing. I've always looked at this. Look, I was brought up in an Italian household where I never got a fucking pat on the back. I never got a good boy. Nothing. So
I got a couple of good games when I was very young.
What do you mean?
Well, good game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you got a couple of good games. A
couple of Uncle Shushes.
Dude, when I was a baseball, I pitched. We played for the championship. We played three games, right?
I was usually catching.
Yeah, well, I was one of the pitchers, but I was like their third pitcher. I wasn't that good. And the first game with our ace blew him out. The second game, we lost. So now they got the, it's up to me. So what happens? I squeak out a winner. We won 8-6. I squeaked out a winner, and we were champions, right? I remember this. I was like fucking 12 years old. And my coach and a couple of the other kids, they fucking were like, you know, like almost like lifting me up a little bit. And the coach, Mr. Puma, I'll never forget. He looks over in the stands and there's my father. And he goes, hey, Mr. Conti, what do you think of your boy? And my father's like, you better put him down before you get him a hernia. I'm like, thanks, Pop. That's what I get. That's the fucking A championship. Now these fucking kids, they get fucking trophies for everything.
You're waving your hat like David Wells.
Yeah.
Perfect game on the shoulders.
Yes.
Like they won one for the Gipper.
Exactly.
You better put him down.
Yeah, you maybe put him down. You might get him a hernia. Thanks, Pop. Thanks for the support. So, the point is that I've never. You never heard that story? Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. But I've never had that, like, that real. Like,
positive reinforcement.
No, not even that, but I'm saying now, like, I always look at it like, yeah, you know what? There might be 30 people checking this out. And, you know,
We know who they are. We know who they are. It's fucking, it's Brent. It's fucking, you know, Colorado Dickhead. It's the Chrome. It's the, some of the people in the More Like Radio chat room. And we got, a, you know, Ingram, and, you know, and Craig out in fucking, you know, it's almost, like I'm sitting there going, are you shitting me? I could name our listeners. I could call them all out.
You're way off.
And yeah. Then you find out and you're like, they're these motherfuckers that like know this show. Like, there's a guy out in PA who I do not know him, but we are friends on Facebook, who this motherfucker, he hasn't responded back to me, he's cocksucker, but he is the one that, like, knows a show from 4 years ago when we were doing, you know what I mean? And yeah. He sends me a message. By the way, that show was called blah, blah, blah. And it was, how the fuck do you know that?
Well, you should, was, what happened, what, tell, what was it again in Iraq? Remember the one person? Tell
the story.
I knew
this chick. I was hanging out with this
right
girl.
Here should have just, yeah, that should have solidified.
Yeah, I was hanging out with this chick a bunch of years ago, and whatever. Nothing ever happened. We were just friends. I wanted to put it in her face, but she wanted nothing to do with me. So we hung out a couple of times, and then she ended up moving to, like, Ohio. And she gave me a call one day. I didn't even recognize the number. And I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? She goes, look, I just want to say hello. I'm like, oh, it's cool. She goes, I got to tell you something. She was sort of dating a guy. She goes, he's a military guy. And I'm sitting there, and I wasn't really into him. This, I don't know what the fuck that's got to do with the story, but she was telling me. She goes, hey, he's cool. But I'm at his house, and he's in his room, and I'm walking by the hallway, and he's in front of his computer, and I hear a voice that I kind of recognize, and I look at him, and I go, what is that you're listening to? And he said, it's a radio show. It's a podcast. She goes, what is it? And it was our show.
Yeah, in Ohio.
And she goes, I know that guy. And he goes, yeah, we have a couple guys out in fucking Iraq. We listened to it when we were in Iraq. And I'm like, there are fucking military guys in Iraq listening to this?
See, I've always told you. I've always told you. It's bigger than you think.
But I think bigger that goes with a lot of shows. I mean, I get, look, if you, most shows have, you know, fans all across, you know, all over the place, because it's such a wide open, it's the Wild West. So you may, you know, have fucking 30 acres, but there's nothing on your 30 acres except your little house, but you still got 30 acres. It's not like the old days where, hey, you know what, you're on CBS FM, or you're on 102.7, and you are in New York, and there's like millions of people, and it's in these tight, you know, amounts of people, right. You know, where you're getting big, big numbers. Of course, you know, that's old school radio and all that. So now it's like anybody with a cell phone. See, that's the thing, dude. I look and go, anybody with a smartphone could listen to our show. So the only thing we have to do is two things. Put on a good show and get people to our show. And we just don't have the personalities for that, in a sense where we're not that promoter guy. We're not the, you know, we can't even get fucking, we don't even like to call bookers and be like, hey, you want to book me? I'm like, I don't want to bother them, you know? It's like, you have to be persistent, and I'm starting to get more persistent.
That's why I've never gotten a hooker. So I'm like, I don't want to bother her.
Well, for some reason, I was persistent back then with that.
Yeah. I was like, she's persistent. Probably busy, you know? This one's probably busy. I don't want to bother.
And it's just been mind-bending where between stand-up, I'm seeing some friend, good close friends of mine really take major strides in their stand-up. And with this, and I'm going, we should be doing just a huge amount of numbers. We should be, not huge enough, for the amount of people we know. You know, for how we're nobodies, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I know what you mean.
We're not Bill Burr. You know what I mean? Like, Bill Burr's got his podcast, and because he's Bill Burr, he's getting fucking big numbers. Whether he does a good show or not. I haven't even heard Bill's show. So, you know, Joe Rogan, you know, like Joe Rogan, because they were already somewhat famous, they get that, you know, that initial boom. And of course, they got to put on good shows.
Right.
But we haven't gotten that yet. We've been close, you know? It's like,
we've been close a few times.
We've been close, you know? And it's like, with Dumbo down the fucking road, you know? Fucking Puppet Head. I fucking love him, but he drives me fucking batty. I fucking called him. I said if he wanted to come up tonight, but he never called me back. But it's like, we're like there, you know? And I think we have a show. If we were
put in a position to go, all right, we got a show for you. We're going to have people working with you. And, you know, you're going to be able to pull from all the... I think we could do a pretty good show.
Of course.
So, it's just... It just hurts. It hurts. I just fucking can't do it anymore. So I'm just going to eat my salad.
And furthermore, what I want to say is fuck Iraq. And fuck that big titty douchebag in Ohio. Sorry.
That's all right. I'm just letting you get it out. And get it in.
And then we come back and we got no fucking internet. And I don't know where Frank is. I just want to cry.
There's no internet?
No, I'm saying we couldn't get things going.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my computer's about to die.
How was your weekend?
It was just fine.
Yeah, you were home. At least.
Yeah, weekend home.
Did you do anything?
Nah, nothing.
No,
I fucking veg.
You didn't pop any vagina or anything?
No. When I'm out more than 2 weeks, I got to decompress. I need a couple of, you know what I mean? I just need just fucking veg. And I'd gotten home last week, but I had to work late a bunch of days last week. You know what I mean? So it was just a succession of
right
getting kicked
you
in the balls.
Away, yeah.
Yeah.
You were away for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In Tallahassee. Even if you're on vacation, you would be like, I want to go home.
Enough. Fucking enough already.
Ugh.
Yeah, it really gets to that point.
That blows.
Yeah. God, luckily, after Houston in a couple of weeks, it doesn't look like anything until after the year. I just do little pop-in visits around the country.
Okay.
So nothing extended. 5 days at a time, maybe. You know what I mean? Monday to Friday.
That three-week shit is just...
For the birds.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
For the birds. Houston should be good. It's a downtown area.
I think it's the fattest city in America.
Is it?
I think so.
Fit right in. My winter tits. It's fucking almost fall and I still have winter tits.
Winter tits.
Yeah, normally, you know.
I've never heard that before. Winter tits.
Yeah, no, when it's like June and you're like, I still got winter tits. Because I used to, you know, it would be like during the winter you'd gain some weight. And then springtime, you cut down a couple of pounds.
Especially in the Northeast, yeah.
Yeah, you just start dieting and whatnot. And yeah, but the problem is I've had these same winter
fucking
tits.
Fucking winter tits. That's fantastic.
I've had these same winter tits for about 4 years.
Damn, that's funny. I don't know. I just... Sorry, I'm just twatting out today.
Yeah,
it
really
just
are.
Put me in such a mood. Like, what the fuck are we even doing here? You know? Like, what are we doing? Don't get me wrong. Basically, except for since July of 2005, once a week, whether it was Monday when we were doing it or Wednesday when I did my show. Sorry. I've been doing this, and I'm starting to see that it's crazy to say this, but when you listen to like some of the old stuff, and if they listen to shorts and they listen to some of the old. We've got like two or three clips so far. Mm. They're really funny, but we're really raw. You know what I mean? It's like we're not that good, but it was just really funny moments.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to listen to us and go, oh my God, we were terrible, but it was really funny. So I can see the difference. I can see us like how good we've gotten at doing this. And it's basically just two of us. You know, I mean, yeah, with Bob and James for a while, and I would say those were just so much fun. And then when we have Mike here, and that's a good time, but it's like how the fuck, like, you know, like there are some guys that really think we have a really, really good show, like a really good show.
Yeah.
And I've always joked, like, you're a fucking idiot, you know, fucking stop it already.
Always.
But I'm starting to really think. Because I check out, and don't get me wrong, there are some podcasts that I listen to that I like, and there are some really good shows out there, but I'll say it, I don't think, and I know they're different than ours, but I just think we have one of the best shows out there, minus 1 or 2,000 other programs. But I really think we have a really
good
fucking
show. Just kick yourself in the balls.
I really think we have a good fucking show.
I agree. I've always thought it. Just had some great times.
Stroking our own cocks here.
That's all right.
We never do that.
I've never seen you like this before.
I guess
not in a bad way. It's not in a bad way.
I had an epiphany over the weekend where, I mean, it's nothing I'll even get into detail because it's just a personal, just a thing. And I just had this whole thing Saturday afternoon just come over me. And I said, I'm done. And I need to change certain things in my life and change them quickly.
Okay.
And
I have something similar that happened to me this
morning. Yeah. It was just, like, I was just sitting there driving around, and I'm, like a crazy person. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in the car by myself.
What are you screaming?
Screaming at myself. Like, you fuck, you fucking zero, and I'm just screaming at myself for some of those things, and I'm like, I can't believe you let this happen.
You're like, you're a fucking zero, yeah. And your windows are down, and someone catches you, you're like, Jude! Jukebox Hero. Yeah, it's Jukebox Hero, dude.
What you want to be, brother? Zero the Hero. And it was funny because I literally called. Beverly was down the beach on Saturday. She goes to the nude beach, my girlfriend. And
hubba hubba.
Yeah. And so when she was on her way home, and I said, listen, when we get home tonight, we got to have a little talk. And she was like, what?
Uh-oh.
I'm like, no. It was nothing with her. And that's why I told her, I go, look, nothing with me and you. We're good. Everything's cool. Just, you know, watch your step. Keep your mouth shut.
You're
going to get a fresh one. You're going to get a fresh one with fucking knuckles. And I just told her. And
these
I just
two twins are waiting to meet your lips.
I just told her, and I just said, look, there's some things that I need to take care of in my life, and I could use your help. And I told her what I wanted to do.
Very masculine of you to ask for help. You know what I mean? Not like in a drug addict kind of way. Like,
In other words, like help. Instead of no, I'm good. You know, like I can fucking do it. I'm like, hey, you know what?
She's involved. I need some help. Yeah.
I need some help with this. There's a couple of things that I need to do and tweak and change. And she was like, all right, I have no problem. Let's do it. So we're working on the plan and trying to do stuff. And
you want
to
get into any of it or
no? It's little things.
Little things, right? Bunch of little things that equal a big thing.
It's basically something in my personal life and my career.
Gotcha.
Two things. Which is easy to figure out, you know, like my stand-up. And why do you think and my friends are busting my chops? Because, well, I'm taking all these free gigs and all these spots. I had one on Saturday. If I could find something during the week, I'm going. Friday night, Matt Bridgestone's getting me a spot down the shore. Bobby Gonzo's giving me another spot 10 minutes from my house on Saturday that I can close out. I'm just taking these spots because you know what I mean? The summer, it was bad. And between that and the way I've been feeling, I'm like, oh, I saw myself falling away from comedy, like falling away from it. And I said, I can't. Like, I can't not do that. I have to. Like, sure. I can't go through life not doing comedy. It sounds stupid.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I know, what you mean.
And you've had a very interesting situation with why you've been scarce doing your stand-up.
It's a necessity.
And
as
I know
right
that
now.
This helps you, and that's one of the reasons why I'm like, you know what, Kenny needs, you need this as much as I need the stand-up, because you've been away from stand-up because of your fucking job.
Absolutely.
So this is like, hey, listen, I need this, motherfucker. And we talked about it after the show where I was like, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, this sucks. We blow. And there's the whole thing and finance and everything. And you were like, no, motherfucker. I need this. And I was like, all right, man. You know, because as much as I want to smash you because you never fucking call me back and all that kind of shit, when you do call me, I'm trying to fucking, you know, go to sleep, and you keep fucking going on and on and on. But I do love you, and I saw it in your, you know, I heard it in your voice, and you're like, I need this, you know. And it's like that stupid moment in a movie where the two people go, all right, now we know what to do, you know.
Yeah.
And there's just now, we need to find somebody who wants to be part of this show that can help us basically two ways. The on-air thing that I was saying, and to help us get this fuck. If Brent lived in fucking Jersey, that motherfucker would be here.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, Brent, white-ass Brent, he would be in studio being our guy and just say, dude, just hang out, do the chat, fucking whatever. And he would be our liaison to get this fucking show out to the way. Put it on all different message. I don't even know. I'm saying message board. Do they even exist anymore? Message board is from like 2002, where there were message boards. But there are a bunch of different ways to get the show out there. And I think if we can do that, and especially with these shorts, because this, you know, I think it's a great fucking thing that we're doing. The shorts thing. By the way, Conti and Kenny Shorts, if you want to subscribe, we have 7 episodes. Go to contiandkenny.com or go to iTunes and subscribe. The last one is number 7, the Italian handicapped Jersey Shore. Check it out. But it's just we need something. Like, we got this. And all we need is somebody, you know, you can never have too much of this to help put on a better show. You can always put on a better show. No matter how great a fucking episode is.
Of course.
Or no matter how great your fucking stand-up is, you can always be better. And I think you know that, and I know that. And I think that's because we didn't get a lot of, how you doing out of the boys, you know, instead of, hey, maybe get him a hernia, you know what I mean? So when you got a father going, hey, maybe you may get him a hernia, hey, you know what, you're not going to be fucking resting on your laurels.
Yeah, yeah, I got, you know, when I would hit a home run or something like that, hey, did your parents see that? And I'm like, no, there's no one here. It was a 5:30 game. They dropped me off at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I had like $3 in my pocket to eat. And they're like, just go play. All right, I'll just go play.
Oh, wait, let me...
I hit one out. Vacuum the fucking living room. This morning.
Just so in case anybody knows, Colorado Dickhead, we're having problems with our feed, so we're doing it through the Ustream. So he was wondering why the feed had commercials. On a lighter note, I'll read this. I don't even know what it says. Colorado Dickhead in the chat. On a lighter note, I just accidentally ashed in my drink. It's just floating there. I'm going to drink it anyway. I'm a broke bastard. No jackets for me.
This morning, I go to the office and... getting stuff ready. I have to go to Long Island tomorrow for 2 weeks. I'll be back for the show on Monday, but you know, it's not far.
Yeah, it's by JFK or something.
Just not traveling. And so I go to my boss's office, one of my bosses, and we're sitting down, we're having a chat, and he's giving me kind of an outline of me traveling and stuff, you know what I mean, with the stores that are open, things right, that are happening, right, you know. And he just stops and goes, how's your drinking? And I go...
Really?
Yeah, I go, it's... just fine.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I'm actually doing pretty good.
I've had some pretty good
runs. See, now what happens
is... I don't understand that.
Yeah, what it is that I stay up all night. You know what I mean? I'm up... So I show up at places a little later than I should. You know what I mean? Only because I've
you
been...
You still got that weird thing vampire going on with that schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. Even working...
I wouldn't call you late. I figured you're asleep by, you know, 11, 12 o'clock because you got
to
get up.
No, I don't go to bed till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Still, yeah. There's actually... my mother had researched it. It's actually like... it's like... almost like when you're working like a third shift. It's actually a thing where your body just doesn't... Your body can use the same amount of sleep, but it wants to sleep at a different time than everybody else. You know what I mean? Like, it wants to sleep from 6 in the morning till 11 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's not that you need more sleep. It's just your body clock is off. It's actually a syndrome, like a actual thing you have. She thinks she has it. I think I have it. My older sister thinks we have it. But, he's like, how's it drinking? And I'm like, oh, well, I go home and have a couple of nightcaps, as does all of us. And he goes, oh, sure, but sometimes the nightcaps screw up the morning. And I go, and I'm like, good point. Sometimes they do, but not all the time. Sometimes I'm just up late, you know? But I was like, oh, shit. And he's like, how's it drinking? He's like, we care about you. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Slow it down.
Calm down here. Hold on. When, you know, because I travel with them, too. a lot of the trips, they'll travel with me. And I'm like, listen, you big-ass boozers. You fucking put me to shame. You're 6'6", and you're buying 14 beers at a time at last call. Don't, you know what I mean? Just because you go to bed at 9 doesn't mean
right,
that
you fucking goody-two-shoes.
Yeah, I go to bed at 3. We wake up at the same time.
Yeah, Adamant, fucking mind your business.
Yeah, so it's half, you know, a lot of it is my fault because I've egged on, not egged on, but all the guys that have come with me, I get them smashed because they all think they can hang. So it's now the captain.
Are they like younger guys?
Yeah, much younger.
Oh,
much
so,
younger.
So they really, so they've gotten to know the captain.
So I'm well known as the captain.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So when I show up late for something, automatically it's not me sleeping in a bit. It's me being drunk the night before. But he actually was like, "How's the drinking going?" And I'm like, "It's fine." A couple of nightcaps.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, "It's cool." Because it is. I never drink at work or anything like that.
No,
you know what
I mean? You're not a obvious. You're a functioning drinker, alcoholic, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're not like this disaster.
You don't have to worry about me. You want me there a little earlier? I'll get there a little earlier.
Right.
I haven't missed a day in how many years? You know what I mean?
Right.
I haven't called out one day in God knows how many years. So I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Don't worry.
So these younger guys think they can hang with you.
Oh, absolutely. So they, instead of drinking beer like they should, they start going to mixed drinks like I have, and they just start pounding them. And then by, you know, I'm at 6, and they're at like, you know, they're at 6, and they're slurring, smoking cigarettes.
So it looks like a Dark Knight movie when Batman leaves the scene with like 11 gangsters, and they're all just passed out on the floor, and you're just walking away.
I'll get me a little bit of Captain later. I'm going to go back to my room and get my microphone and do the Conti and Kenny show. This is a good day. You may have passed out, but I have to do a radio show. You've had too much gin and tonic. I'll be back for you in a little while. Bunch of pussies. Lightweights. By the way, I flush the toilet. Everybody hears it because my microphone gain is up way too high. Just make sure when you take a shit, take your cape off first. Otherwise, it just lays in your ass like a basket.
Hey, Kenny, I had 2 Budweisers. Oh, good for you. That was a Christian Bale, not as Batman. Oh, good for you. Well, that's all right. I mean, it sounds like you're not having a terrible time when you're out there, but it's just got to be after.
You know what, you know what it is?
When it's 3 weeks, dude, that's brutal.
It's boredom. It is boredom, you know, because I can't go out. I can't go out and have a couple of drinks and just see the town because, one, you're by yourself. I do anyway, but I'll go have dinner. But I have a rental car and stuff. I can't drink at all while I'm driving. You know what I mean? I'll lose my fucking job.
So the only thing that keeps you from drinking and driving is when you're using a rental instead of your own car.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much stuck in a hotel room. And then when some people, they want to take me out, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, these guys are either fucking nuts or something like that. I mean, I do explore and whatnot, but it's boredom. So I have the nightcaps, I stay up all night, and I watch Shush Time. Shoot me.
Shush Time. All right. Do you want to take a little break?
Yeah, let's take a break, see if Frank's here, and we can maybe pop this thing back on.
There was something I was going to play. Maybe not. All right. I don't know. I'll play something. We'll be back. It's the Conti and Kenny show on
with
more,
a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes, on morelikeradio.com.
Okay,
God bless. Rip.
God bless.
It's gonna get ugly.
Mike's a slack sword tiger.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Kenny Michaels from the Conti and Kenny Show always shares how his favorite website, shushtime.com, provides his need for intellectual stimulation.
I think I might have done that correctly.
Oh, okay.
I'm very proud of you, Kenny.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and now I'm on Shush Time, watching a Russian chicken truck smash into a bunch of school children.
The Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Yeah.
truck, but it's kind of like a car, and I kind of like to fuck when I get out of the bar.
Do you have your ticket? Are you paid in full? Well, everybody say, huh! 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 A song you have made one of the funkiest songs in America. And now the world over. Y'all ready to jam, y'all?
The light is where I'm living, trying to juggle every drug of my life. Stay out of prison and I'm searching for an angel in white to come and save me. But the wicked wind whispers and moans, calling me baby. The fever is high, my demons is calling out. I'm losing my breath, I feel like I'm falling out. My engine is on, but it's always stalling out. My brain is a cloud, it's smoky with thoughts of doubt. Loneliness will blind you, it'll keep you guessing. It's difficult to find out any worthy lesson when you're swimming in the pool of alcohol aggression. And you go into the school of managing depression with a fistful of pills and a brown paper bag. Everything that you want's everything you don't have. Like romance with the daughter of the devil himself. Girl, I swear I'm gonna find you, I'm coming right behind you.
Wishes lie under a rug. A young son misses his mother's love. Every day I pray to make her proud. Secretly asking to take me away from under these black clouds. Ain't no sunshine, she's gone. I love life, but not when my wrongs highway from heaven to hell and beyond. With penny in my left, betrayed in my right. Couple of shots will kiss this warped world goodnight. Cancel flight, and that was how I said it before. One of these nights, they're bound to find you dead on the floor. Realize, dry my eyes in full view. I got a few too many demons for every broken bottle of brew. Sucked up the shattered glass, rather picked up the pieces. Sung so by Cheryl Crow, the first cut is the deepest. Time pieces pain and ideal, healing from all I'm going through. But mama, sometimes it's still for like joining you.
With aggression, but neither have I had enough cash in my possession to live comfortable like Huxtables and television. While I struggle to pay bills, juggle day-to-day ills. Cats with less talent get mad, play and just lay chill. The wicked wind whispers, life a crime, I saw this fight of mine, but I'm trying to keep in mind that I'm right behind success. Too much stress in this life of mine, and my actions all determine just how bright my light will shine. Out of sight and out of mind is what they telling me. Get felony, reverse these melodies and hurt my destiny, probably. So in light of this dichotomy, you gotta be a writer and dig for a lighter side of me, cause this is how it should be done. And my rhymes is identical to none.
We'll be right back.
had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered water acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quart of tequila, a quart of rum, a case of beer, a pint of raw ether, 2 dozen Indians. Not that we needed all that for the trip. But once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can.
Who wants to get closer to Conti and Kenny? Everyone with gonorrhea does. So why not like the Conti and Kenny Show Facebook page? And now follow the show and them on Twitter. At C&K Show, at Joe Conti Comic, and at Kenny Michael 55. What a weird, stupid Twitter that is. Kenny Michaels 5. Yeah. Kenny Michaels 5. The number 5. What a fool.
All right, we're back.
Yes.
Oops, gotta turn that down. Everything's good in the world.
It's all better now,
all better
ain't
now.
It?
Yay. Hey. In fact, I don't even think we should be playing that. We should play something a little bit nicer. Or that's what I gotta tell.
See.
There we go.
Trees of green.
There we go. Everything's all good. It's Joe Pesci's version. He's the only one I have.
Red roses too.
Yeah.
Red roses too.
Yeah.
I see them.
Everything's blue. Working again. I got the server working. I don't even know how I did it. But everything now, there's no fucking 4-minute delay.
And I think to myself.
Now it is.
I'm gonna bash your head over with a fucking baseball bat. Got sucker! You motherfucker!
Life is good.
I seen fucking trees.
I see clouds of gray.
How you doing, buddy?
Fucking clouds of gray. Cocksucker motherfucker.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Me too.
You feel better?
Yeah.
Just need a big doo-doo and in and you're really good.
Oh, man.
All that roughage you've been spewing down your gullet the first hour.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
It's going to come out like a Carmen Miranda hat.
Look, just go look that up, all right?
It's also on the faces of people.
Colorado dickhead in the chat wants to have a drink off with you.
Yeah? Yeah. All right. I'm in.
Yeah.
Just no shots.
No,
it's got to be straight. It's going to be a marathon, but it's straight drinks.
Okay.
I don't do shots anymore.
But
unless they're off some Hooters girl's titty. Then I'll make an exception.
So, of course, you're checking out the Conti Kenny Show on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, you're going to shit and it's going to have a tag on like Aunt Pearl. Remember Aunt Pearl? Remember Pearl? The one with the country. Oh, she's country. Back in the late 70s.
Yeah. Phone number's 330-2-CRINGE.
I don't even think it was Aunt Pearl. It might have been something different.
Is your mother? I'm getting the letter P. Is your mother named Pearl?
I hope it gets cancer in the balls and spreads to your eyes.
So, but yeah, 330-2-CRINGE, or if you want to call us on Skype, it's NPN Studios. And I just want to apologize for the first hour. I was a little cranky, but everything's good now. Everything's good. We have a shitty show, and I'm happy, so it's all good. We're fine.
Yeah, I'm going to fix myself.
Yeah, I'm still going to fix myself. I have some things I got to fix. But, yeah.
Who doesn't? You know what I mean?
No, but this is major stuff. Major stuff I got to
fix. Yeah, but if you think about it, a lot of us go through without recognizing the stuff you got to fix. You know what I mean? A lot of people go through the whole, you know, people that are just born assholes. They don't have the cognitive resource, if that's the correct phrase, of being able to pick out that they're an asshole.
Okay.
Or they go too far, you know what I mean?
Here it is. I was going to save this thing for my first podcast that I was going to do, my little one, my only little thing
podcast.
Still
do it.
I still do it. Here it is. The key to life. You ready, everybody? Self-awareness.
Yeah.
If you can have a very substantial amount of self-awareness without having too much,
Because if you have too much self-awareness, then you become this self-sabotaging maniac, and then you end up doing podcasts and stand-up, and you end up having the self-esteem issues and all that. But if you can have some self-awareness, that is the key in life. Because if you walk around with no self-awareness, you are an annoying asshole.
And it's different than common sense.
No, no, no. It has nothing to do with common sense. Common sense is your brain power. It's what you can take in and, acknowledge what something is and then react to it. Self-awareness is just not having any idea of how much of a douche or not a douche. It's that person that just walks in and doesn't even have a shred of consideration for other people. And I think a lot of that people who don't have self-awareness, a lot of that, if you're autistic, you don't have self-awareness. But that's a chemical thing. And that's because in your brain, you don't have that social issue, those social skills to have a conversation. To sit there and go, all right, it's going to be my turn to speak, then your turn to speak. And then my turn and your turn. When you don't have any self-awareness, you're almost like an autistic person where you don't have those social skills. So you don't even understand the certain arts of simple everyday things like conversation or knowing that you don't sit there and go, hey, come on, where's my, I'm waiting for my sandwich. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Courtesies and
all polite, that is politeness for self-awareness. When you don't have any self-awareness, you don't even realize. I don't even know what's worse. Somebody who doesn't realize they're an asshole or somebody who knows they're an asshole and they just don't care. But it all comes to self-awareness. And I think I've always had a little too much self-awareness. Like, my self-awareness is so bizarre that when I'm having a conversation with somebody, like right now, let's just say we were talking somewhere and there's two or three people and I'm sitting there going, so anyway, the thing about self-awareness, and during the time when I'm speaking in my head, I'm going, I should shut my mouth. I'm talking too much. They must fucking think I'm an asshole. They must think I'm annoying. Like, the one thing I strive to be in this life, and we all have moments of it, I never want to be the annoying guy.
Yeah.
That, to me, is worse than somebody saying I'm not funny or I'm fucking ugly or a fat guy or anything. To be... And everybody has...
I'm on the same page with you.
We all can be annoying. You have, you could be annoying one night.
In a mood, yeah, whatever. Sure.
But when you're that, I never want to call somebody and have them look at their phone and go, ugh, this guy.
Fucking guy, yeah.
Never. Like, you could just be like,
that's why I never answer or dial my phone. That's exactly why.
But it's the self-awareness thing. And I've always... Like, to me, there's no worse quality than being annoying. Because, dude, it doesn't matter what common sense you have, how nice you are, how considerate you are, how giving you are, how selfless you are. You're annoying, and people don't want to be around you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and that hurts. And we had a friend of ours, he's no longer with us, who... What he had that where
a friend of ours,
RS initials.
Rusty Staub?
No, not Rusty Staub. You fucking
Russell
idiot.
Stover.
You idiot.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And what a nice guy. Smart. Funny. Almost on the border of brilliant in the things that he had come up with and comes up with, but...
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes, Rumpel, and his last name is Stiltskin. Yeah. He's German, I think. He's of German descent.
Your penis is called Rumpelstiltskin.
But, hey, listen, as great of a guy he was, if you walked into a party or a hangout... And you saw him, you'd be like, oh, because he would. And
he was okay to be at a party. You just didn't want to talk to him for more than 30 seconds.
Because he would get your ear, and he had no sense of the art of conversation, because he would just talk and you would just have to listen. that is, there's no self-awareness there. And I think that he might have had some sort of, you know, like some sort of in the realm, in the universe of autism, he might have had something. I think there's so many, like Asperger's, there's so many different.
You also have to remember, also for certain personalities, social outlets. That might be the only time they've spoken to someone in 4 or 5 days.
Doesn't matter.
You know?
It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, I can go, you know, fucking Tom Hanks in fucking.
I can go 5 days without speaking a word and be perfectly happy.
And you're
happy.
Fine. And then the next day, you're like, what's going on? Yeah. I could do the same.
Perfectly happy.
I mean, I like to babble. Don't get me wrong. And I can talk my face off. But I still have that self-awareness where I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to think that blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
But no matter what, all the great qualities that our friend had, but the one thing that you always is like, oh, my God, I want him to catch my ear.
And it never was. There's an annoying person that you're like, I fucking hate that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Was not him at
no,
all.
No. It was, not, and that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that thing that he had was so big that it would even keep you from wanting to spend too much time with him. And even though he was a great guy and he was funny and he was interesting, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he was a jerk off? It wouldn't even be, you know, it would be like, dude, get out of my face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That self-awareness thing is the key to life. You hear it right here on the Conti and Kenny program.
The key to life.
The key to life is self-awareness.
And a good sandwich.
And get a broad to make you a fucking sandwich. And tell her to shut her face.
Yeah, get a good broad to make you a good sandwich.
Exactly. And tell her to be rational when she's in a fucking argument with you. That'll work.
Yeah, try that.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, just point out the facts in the case when you're sitting there getting screamed at by her and see what happens.
Yeah, just find a woman who will go, you know what? I'm sorry. I was
being a little bit out of control.
I'm being obtuse. 30 days in a hole, you cocksucker. What did you...
you'll think about it again when you think I'm obtuse.
I think we should do something special for Dufresne. Let's find him some rocks. No, that's a horse turd. It's a petrified horse turd.
But that's...
You're just being so obtuse.
That's...
If a woman can admit that she's being obtuse, then fucking put a ring on it.
Yeah. And that's the key. That is the key. And that's always been my goal ever. And I think part of it is because when I was a kid, that's why I don't like being, I hate confrontation.
Yeah.
Because from the time I was like 8 until the time I was 14, maybe 8 or 9, my parents were just at each other's throats.
I'm right there with you with the no confrontation.
That's why I could never, like, I think I could do the radio war thing because I can be vicious and brutal, you know, but I'm not good at, the weird type of vibe
I know what you mean.
That's
yeah.
in a room when there's, I don't like uncomfortableness. I hate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I want things to be comfy, nice and comfy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I like.
I totally agree. That's why if I can piss somebody off, if someone's mad at me, it's okay. It upsets me. But if someone's like, I fucking hate that guy, I'm like, what? I'm like, that's crushing. What did I do? You know what I mean? Because I would leave a situation before it got to the point where someone hated me. Whether it was his fault or mine, probably 99% right. their fault. That I would have to defend myself and do something or say something, I should say, that would cause them to be like, this guy's a fucking asshole. You started it, but I will get out of that situation before it happens. Because it's more crushing to me. Someone's like, oh, he's mad at you. I'm like, yeah, well, I probably, you know, did cocaine and didn't go to an important meeting. You know what I mean?
I've been like that, too, and it was funny. A famous quote. From one of my friends years ago. And they go, if somebody doesn't... This was a quote from a friend of mine. And if he said, you know what? If somebody doesn't like Joe Conti, they're probably an asshole.
Yeah, that's...
But I will admit that over the last few years, And it's great for, like, that... Not stress, but that worry of always wanting to be, you know, the like person. There are some people that I go, you know what? You don't like me? too bad. The old me would have been like, no, please like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's even transcending in my comedy. Like, I see people who are just like, ugh, they just don't... I could see them from the audience. They're like, I'm not digging them. The old me would want to make them, oh, come yeah, to
why,
my
why,
way.
What's the matter? What's nope. the matter? What's the matter?
Nope. Too yeah. bad. You don't like me?
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Most of the people here, fuck you. And not even fuck you like, hey, you know what? Fuck. But you know what? Too bad. I don't care. Not fuck you, you motherfucker. Fucking dying. I don't care. Good.
Yeah.
You know?
If someone...
And there are people that don't like me, and I'm okay with it. Because most people do. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I totally agree, especially in the real life. I have to deal with a lot of people that have problems. I have to try to fix the problems, and I do the best I can. But if I get sometimes there are emails sent to my bosses where like this guy's an asshole, and I go honest, and they know that he's full of shit because I'm like, you know, has anyone ever thought of me as an asshole? You know what I mean? I'm not wrong here. You know what I mean? I'm not being the asshole. He's being the asshole. No,
Kenny's a douche because he doesn't call people back.
Douche
and all
is
that,
different.
But
douche
he's
is,
not. He's not is, Kenny's not an asshole.
Yeah, douche is different. Asshole by no means. I pride myself on being un-assholed.
You just
or uno asshole.
Yeah, you
one
don't
asshole.
Want, you don't want to be annoying, and you don't want to be like disliked. And it's weird. Like there are people that thrive. On people not liking them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird.
That's why they like, die early.
But I'm okay
and that's
with...
Why they, that's why they're successful in business. And we're fucking starving yeah. comedians.
But I'm okay with some... Look, if... You know, if you could say, well, if you know what, if 99% of the people love me, then that's cool. And if you think about that, let's say... Because they say the average person knows 1,100 people. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
They say the average person knows 1,100 people. Which makes sense, because if you think about it, think of all the people you've known. Like, people that actually know your name and know you. I mean, we're a little different because there are, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, stand up. We've been around. I had some fucking dude come up to me. We were out to dinner, me and my girlfriend, a couple weeks ago. Guy's like, she wound up to go get a drink or something. And he goes, you're a comedian, right? I go, yeah. He goes, I saw you over in blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, wow, thanks, man. He's like, you were real funny. And I was like, thank you, man. I shook his hand. I should have asked his name. I forgot to ask his name to be like, thanks, man, you know? But besides that, most people know about 1,100 people. So if you say 99%
you know,
of people
you
know,
it'd
be
like
funny
it, if you were like, did you like the part when I was talking about the
did you like my vagina jokes?
The difference between vaginas, yeah.
Did you like my vagina jokes? But the thing is, you could say 99% of the people love me, right? Or like me. And you go, well, you know what? If you know 1,000 people, that means... 10 people hate you. You know what I mean? 10 people don't like you.
Right.
And, but you know what? In the grand scheme of things, think about people that have a lot of people that don't like them. And I'm not talking about famous people. Just people you know who just, they just don't. There's a lot of people that dislike them.
That's lonely, man.
It's weird.
That's lonely.
It's weird.
Even though that I keep to myself... And I don't, I'm busy, you know what I mean? But I'm not a social butterfly as much as I used to be, you know, going out to bars and nightclubs and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of wearing a little bit thin, you know what I mean? But, you know, just imagine if you are doing that and you're still disliked, that's a lonely place to be in, man.
Yeah.
You know? But there it comes back to your... thing with self-awareness.
Yeah.
You'd sit there and have to... Sometimes it happens where they're like, man, I gotta change.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to change for people, but if it's like becomes a pattern and you're like, well, I'm at the common denominator is me. You know, it's not like, you know, look, if 1 out of 100 people are like, yeah, you're... in stand-up, if there's 100 people in a room and 99 of them are laughing and one person's got their arms folded, I mean, you know, okay, I'll take the 99. You know?
Turn around real quick. At the TV? Real quick. Just see what that is. Miller Lite commercial?
With that stupid hole in it?
And do you know what he pokes a hole in with it? Car key.
It's not part of... Isn't that...
No, you got to pop the top, and then you poke a little air hole. So,
oh,
that
so
it
it's
flows.
Already indented. You got to pop it through.
You just got to pop... What a car key. Drink responsibly, Miller Lite. Way to fucking think that one out.
Wow.
Yeah, there should have been some other attachment that you used... You don't use a fucking car key.
It's like, why don't you just use like a baby's finger? You know what I mean?
or like a tooth or
yeah,
something.
Just and explain
what the, they should do is they should have
the beer. Explain the product.
What do you mean? Miller Lite.
What it is.
Yeah. It's Miller Lite, and it's a you open a can on the top like a regular beer can, and then on the side they have a little air hole. If you have ever poured something out of a jug and it doesn't have a secondary air hole for the air to funnel through, it goes glug, 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 glug. If you put that air hole in, it goes nice and smooth. So they're doing that with the beer. But now they're showing them to crack the beer open, take your fucking Honda key, and pop that thing so you get drunk faster.
Unbelievable.
But how about drinking responsibly? Look at that.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what are they going to say? It's a house key? Well, you still had to leave your house in your car.
Another stupid idea from the beer commercial. I mean, you wonder why some people out of this country hate us. Because they think we're just a bunch of beer-swilling fucking Al Bundys sitting with our hand down our pants watching football all fucking year long. And you know what I mean? It's like, really, like, it's the beer commercials. I've gotten to a point where I have absolute zero tolerance for beer commercials. None of them are funny. None of them are interesting. They're all just, I mean, sometimes they're different because it placates to something completely different than the drink thing. But anytime I see three guys, a Spanish guy, a white guy, and a black guy, all dressed nice at a bar, I'm going, oh, click. I don't even want to fucking see it. I don't want to see this diverse douchebaggery of a fucking commercial to be like, hey, check it out. Well, look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look how hot. Oh, and then it's a beer instead of a chick.
Those commercials are all over the world. Actually, you know, Brad Pitt and George Clooney, they'll do Chivas commercials in Japan as long as they're not released in America.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just, I'm not sure.
Because they get a ton of money, probably?
They probably get a ton of money. So, you know, you sit there and you see George Clooney with a little snifter of Cavassier on a fucking billboard in Tokyo. You know what I mean? You won't see that here. But what I fucking hate is that every vodka or every drink, besides for Captain Morgan and Dos Equis, they've been pretty, whatchamacallit, not creative, but they're just joking around.
The most interesting man in the world.
But you've got like...
I have one. You have the most interesting man in the world. You know those things?
Sure.
He doesn't flip when he has to go suntanning. The sun moves for him.
Well, it does for everybody because that's the natural rotation of...
No, but he doesn't have to flip over. The sun moves, so he doesn't... So he gets a... I have to work on it.
If you stand in one spot, the sun will circle you.
Boy, I'm sure glad I didn't bring that to the fucking Dos Equis people. Hey, Dos Equis people, I have a great idea. Why don't you talk to your partner, Kenny? He might be able to help you out on that and explain to you how the Earth works, how we travel around the sun. And, you know, and the sun, you know, and as Earth spins on its axis, the sun seems to move around. And it does actually move around the sky. Fantastic. Woohoo! I am brilliant.
How long did you have that one in your head?
Oh, months and months. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had that for a long time. I actually was looking for like a... I have an idea for an Axe commercial, too.
I just ruined like 3 months of brainstorming. I'm sorry.
No, it's not even 3 months, but 3 months of one day I'm going to get this to the Dos Equis people. And they're going to be like, brilliant.
You're hired.
You're hired.
One of our
fucking marketing writers, you know? Because it's obviously they have like comedians that write for some of these comedies.
Sure.
But I have a great idea for an Axe commercial, which I want to work on with Pete and get like maybe... done. I think it's a great idea. I'll tell you off the air.
Sure.
Because I don't want to be embarrassed again if it's really a shitty commercial. I don't want to feel really embarrassed.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But what annoys me is these vodka commercials that make everything cooler than it is. The dum dum ba dum dum ba dum dum ba dum. And it's like it's like they're all dressed in black suits, white shirts, no ties, and they're all... it's like Ocean's 11 or something like that. They're all the coolest dudes in the back room of a nightclub at a poker table. You know,
I don't get it.
They're playing cards or they're just hanging out. They're all like the coolest guys. Fucking life ain't like that. Rarely.
Yeah,
sometimes
not,
it is, but not for for the, you know, the one percenters it is. Not for the...
Very, very rare.
Yeah. Boom, boom, ba-doom, boom, ba-doom, boom, ba-doom. They're all like Brad Pittish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Because that's what bars look like. You know, nah, you don't see fucking sixes there.
No, the bars we end up in are the ones in Star Wars.
what do you want to do?
Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, we'll talk about Alex.
Wanna? Absolutely.
I'm telling you, I may turn into a Yankee fan because I want to see him give the finger to the fucking planet. I'm so sick of just everybody hates Alex Rodriguez. You know, Alex Rodriguez is a weirdo. We can all admit it.
Yes.
He's been a weirdo since day one. And this all stems, let me tell you something, this all stems from jealousy. Everybody there's very few guys that you can say, I think him and Bonds are the only two guys that you could say, no matter what, roids, no roids, HCC, whatever it is, those guys were fucking amazing players before. And they were going to be great players. Granted, you know, their numbers are going to be a little higher up, but they were still going to be, I think both of them are in the top 20 greatest players of all time.
Sure. Probably 10, top 10.
You would know more.
Yeah. I would say top 15.
Okay, top 15.
Depending on what you were looking at, either batting average or...
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And it's just to a point now where it's just cool to hate Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And granted, he doesn't... Whatever. Self-awareness. Maybe he doesn't have the best self-awareness.
No.
I think, you know, like I was saying, I think he's a... I think he has some sort of... some sort of social thing in him where he doesn't have the social awareness... Maybe a smidge of autism. Like, I truly think there's something a little bit off with him where he doesn't know how to just go, hey, you know what? I got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I can, dude, he could have easily done this and been not as hated. I mean, fuck the Yankee fans. They're always going to hate him because of, you know, he doesn't produce in the fucking playoffs and all this shit. But he was always going to be hated because of the $25 million a year contract he got, which was unprecedented at the time. He, you know,
for 10 years, yeah, $250 million.
Let's face it. The guy was one of the best fucking players ever. And he's a fucking weirdo. You know what I mean? You're the best. It's like if we know a comic who's just amazing. He's just got this thing, you know, and it just, it almost seems like he's not even trying, you know? And you talk to him and he's weird. And he's just weird.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, you know, fuck that guy.
In the chat room, Western Echo put something
up. Fuck Western Echo.
For John Stewart, he talks about the concept of beer commercials. Maybe we'll find that during the break. But he says, also, fuck Failrod. Fuck him from the moment the Yanks traded Soriano for him 10 years ago right up till now. I always hated him.
Yeah, but and who do you hate? Do you hate the Yankees for spending all that money on him? Or do you hate the guy? Like, I get...
He's a jerk-off. He's friends with... He lives in a different airspace.
Yeah, exactly. He's a weirdo.
Since he was 9 years old, he's been told he's going to be the greatest baseball player of all time. He's had his ding-dong sucked since then. And then
that goes for a lot. I would say a major amount of fucking major athletes.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Of course.
Maybe him a little bit more.
Yeah. He's friends with Warren Buffett. You know what I mean? At this point in his career, baseball is a side note because he's got so many other things that he loves business. He wants to be a businessman. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to be something like that. So baseball is basically on its way. What I equated this thing, when they got A-Rod, I said, you know what? It's a typical Yankee move at the time. Get the big names, big high contracts. Get them. They got him. He failed. He never failed the test, but he got pinched. He admitted that he did steroids. Okay, I gave him a pass. Just perform, play baseball like you should, and I'll give you a pass. He fucked up again. Now I can't stand him, okay? Can't stand him. Because we need a third baseman and we're actually winning games because the lineup is better, as a Yankee fan, I put up with it. Let him do his suspension. He'll never be in a Yankee uniform again. He probably won't play baseball again. Possibly. If the suspension goes through, his career is probably over. Okay, so the last part of the season, let him play third base for me, hit a couple of home runs. Now, last night, Yankees-Boston. Biggest rivalry in sports. Just got somewhat rekindled. Because now, what I equated it to is Alex Rodriguez comes up. And you've got six-year-old kids going, boo, boo. They have no idea why. They're just doing it because their parents are. Yeah. And Bill Burr, I was listening to the O&A replay today, and Bill Burr made a great point where he goes, yeah, I see this guy, and he's from Boston. And he's like, whatchamacallit, you know, you see some guy booing him with his thumb down, boo, and he's like, fuck you. He's like, you never cheated on your taxes? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You never cast the first stone, you fucking cocksucker.
I love this fucking thing. And the baseball fans kind of emulate the baseball people in that they're curmudgeon and they're like, oh, it's like they don't want any type of instant replay. Like they even made a point that they're going to do instant replay next year.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is historical. I'm like, no, it's not. Every sport's been doing this for 15 years.
Yeah.
You're finally jumping in and now all of a sudden you're claiming to be this revolutionary thing. Baseball is the old guy who doesn't want to admit that there's any good music that's out now. That's what baseball is.
Yeah.
And the fans show it. And, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know what? It's bad for the kids. Fuck you and your fucking kids. You should be at that game watching and being supportive, not telling the fucking teacher, not telling the coach when he lifts you up, maybe one day get him a hernia. But the thing is, everything is about role modeling kids. And I'm sorry, but if you are that shitty of a fucking parent that you are not the absolute role model, then you're garbage. And you know what? Stop fucking using the television or the internet or a fucking nanny as a fucking sitter, because both of you gotta go out and work, and both of you gotta always have your fucking martinis in your hand, and you gotta wear a papoose in the front of you because you gotta do eight different things. Be a fucking parent. And it's always about blaming these fucking athletes for not being great role models. And you know what? Alex Rodriguez shouldn't be a role model. He should be.
He's already accepted that he's not. He gave
none
that,
of them it, should be.
It's already been given
Derek
up.
Derek Jeter shouldn't be a role model.
Yeah, but don't even say anything bad about Jeter.
How is Derek Jeter?
We're why'd going you to fisticuffs.
Hey, Dad, listen, I want to be like Derek Jeter. I want to fuck 11,000 fucking Manhattan vaginas.
And never get married.
And pretend to be the sweetheart. And hey, I got turned to fucking foundation.
If I exploded my sperm into some woman and a Derek Jeter popped out, I'd fucking die happy.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you bang all these broads and then you give them a gift bag with a gift card for the abortion clinic just in case.
He never got hooked on cocaine. You know, he's never hit his wife. He's never stolen from me. He's the perfect son.
One of our listeners.
Yeah.
One of our listeners who seems to know everything about this show, if you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Remember him? The Miller Lite, I know we're backtracking a second, but he said the Miller Lite pop tops all come with a tool versus the key.
Oh, they
so
do.
So there
okay.
is a tool. So, I mean, you have to fucking.
And you are a tool for
yeah,
using
exactly.
a pop top.
I know, really.
Fucking poke a hole in the bottom of it with a fucking pen.
No.
And shotgun it like a real douche.
No. Don't drink beer, stupid. Don't drink beer. Or if you do, take the 2 seconds and wait for the beer to pour out.
Or pour it in a glass.
Pour it in a fucking glass.
Do you need to chug it faster?
I know, really.
You mongrel. All he's going to do is chug it and smash it over his forehead.
It's 12 ounces. It's not a keg.
As his winter tits hang out in a ping pong, in a beer pong game in fucking Rutgers University fucking basement of a frat house where there's puke on a floor 10 yeah. inches deep.
But I think A-Rod is not going to get. He's not going to get the 211 game suspension. They're not going to give it to him.
They'll give him some.
He's getting some. Yeah, absolutely.
They'll give him 100 games.
And I
well,
think he knew that.
He never failed anything. But there's so much evidence that he was doing. But now there's a. I don't even want to get into the pissing contest between the Yankees need to win ball games.
Pissing contest. Get it?
The Yankees need to win ball games. So Joe Girardi, the manager, says, "Put him in the lineup. You guys deal with this." Alex Rodriguez has not spoken to anyone in the Yankee organization. They, because there's going to be lawsuits, they right. haven't spoken to him. So basically, A-Rod's people are saying they held back medical records that said I had a torn labrum and it got worse during the playoffs last year. And this one said this, this one said that. Big pissing contest.
Right.
But what got me last night, the reason why I am not on A-Rod's side, I'm not on his side. I want him to play baseball for me, for my team, because I need a third baseman. I need to. But last night was... was a cool thing. Not a cool thing. It was an odd thing, but it kind of swayed my thing. Like, would you stop picking on him? Because he's getting booed everywhere he goes. Yankee Stadium, everything. He's getting booed, especially in Boston. So Dempster, the pitcher, second time at bat, throws one behind his legs and almost hits him in the back of the knees.
Right.
A-Rod stumbles a bit. And the crowd, yeah, almost hits him, throws behind him. Major League pitchers don't, on a rare occasion, they lose control like that, okay? Yeah. He throws another pitch high and inside, a breaking pitch. The next pitch hits him in his shoulder. He has to turn. Basically, if you see the look on A-Rod's face, it's basically like if you were in the 70s in like the South and you were the nerdy kid walking home from school and the cool kids chuck beer cans at you
right.
out of the back of a pickup truck.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that right. kid just has to slump home just
really had that kind of look.
Demoralized. Yeah. Well, he looked back at his team and the team came out.
I heard they didn't come chugging out.
They didn't come chugging out.
They were
out.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Joe Girardi, the manager, went apeshit.
I heard he did. And
he
that's
went
good.
Apeshit.
Because you know
Brett
what?
Gardner had to be held back because there's a certain thing is when you're playing baseball, it's a teammate. It doesn't matter what people
you
think
mean
of
guys
them.
That don't like other guys because of their skin color or their nationality or whatever, but it doesn't matter. When you're on the team, there's that camaraderie, so I understand that.
Right. It's a team thing. It's your
because you would want them to do the same for you.
Exactly. Yeah. If I did something wrong or say I was getting indicted on domestic violence, you know what I mean, or something like that, I would still, if somebody was picking on me, you know what I mean, throwing the beer cans,
right.
I would hope that my teammates would do that because I would do that after them.
Yeah, but dude. I'm sorry.
Maybe
there's
not
nothing.
Maybe not domestic violence. No. I take that back.
But there is nothing more enraging than listening to broadcasts about baseball or football or anything, and they're talking about evidence and beyond a reasonable doubt. And I'm like, really? Are we talking about criminals here? We're talking about baseball players who, and we're not even talking about fucking steroids anymore. We're talking about, hey, you know what, dude? What if you're a baseball player and you got this fucking brand new fucking, you have friends in China and you got this fucking tea that fucking supposedly replenishes you and fucking just, you know, this natural herb thing that fucking helps you out and you're getting, are you a cheater?
Yeah.
Is that cheating? I mean, to sit there and listen and talk about evidence when it's not a crime.
Well,
a real crime. I mean, dude, it was a disgrace to sit there and look at Mark McGwire have to go up to Congress with his fucking Mother Goose glasses and be like, I don't know what happened. But and these guys, it's like, they play baseball. They fucking hit a stupid ball around with a stick. And you have and we're wasting our fucking these pieces of shit. Fucking politicians and officials are sitting there asking questions to a bunch of athletes.
I like when you say piece of shit, one eye closes as you point.
Well, no, but there's something wrong with my one eye. It keeps fluttering. For the fucking week now, I just keep fluttering. But, yeah, it's like, stop it already. Stop. Stop talking about, yeah, how about the fucking debt ceiling? How about fucking our credit rating in the fucking world? How about the fact that... GE only paid zero taxes in 2011. Yeah, and you're worried about Mark McGwire if he did fucking steroids in 1998. It's a fucking joke. Let these guys play. If you want to listen, if you want to fuck your body up, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, you're a fucking porno guy. You want to pop Viagra all fucking day and keep using your fucking dick until it's fucking shredded? So be it. They have guys fucking shooting needle. Remember when they used to fucking put needles into their dicks
yeah.
to get, you know, before Viagra and all those pills came around? Hey, you know what? You got an advantage.
This guy's making fucking maybe $3,000 a day instead of fucking, you know, you only get like $400 or $500 of why do I know so much about porn? You only get like $400 or $500 a scene as a guy.
Yeah.
You know?
A-Rod makes like $65,000 in a
back. In a back. Of course. And that's the thing.
But Western Echo, Boston Red Sox fans are this, the difference between faggot Boston fans is they'll boo any Yankee player in misfortune because they're Boston faggots. Yankee fans boo him because he contributes nothing, especially in the postseason.
Well, that's different. But
Boston Red Sox fans are the second worst sports to the Eagles, yeah.
It's.
But, Joe, what about the children watching Mark McGwire?
What are you
it's
kidding?
It's all about the fucking children.
In 1998, I was 29 years old. When we saw Mark McGwire getting jacked up on Androstene... Who was that GNC getting Androstene?
Absolutely.
Dude, I was fucking jacked, and the loads that I was fucking blowing.
Yeah, but you remember, oh, it was but like you remember ropes. After like the first 2 weeks, you had to come off it because I couldn't get my dick hard. I was taking the Andro.
Nah, I was a fucking weirdo. But I...
No, at first, I would fire across the room.
I felt like fucking...
fire across, but afterwards, when the testosterone went up too high, the estrogen came up. So no, I was
really?
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
like Peter Buckets North. I'm like, yeah.
No, I had to stop taking it because of the old wee willy wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah. So I stopped and then I went to the real steroids. And then that's when the fun started.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Stuff. It's not even real steroids anymore. Nobody's taking steroids. The baseball players, they're trying to find the new thing.
They haven't really taken
steroids since like 2003. It's all HG. I mean, it's just a fact is that it's the hypocrisy of this country to sit there and judge these guys because they feel they can. And why? Because you watch them? Hey, listen, you want to judge a guy on his playing, but don't sit there and sit there and try to be all high and mighty. Look, if you want to say, hey, you know what? I fucking don't like that guy because he's a douche.
Right.
But don't try to make it like if you were playing baseball. You know how many people, if they were playing baseball and they could make all that money and they wouldn't try to find an advantage? You're telling me you're at your job, you're not trying to find an advantage over some other guy if you're in sales?
Sure. Bill Burr said it. Like, you didn't cheat on your taxes?
Whether it's your taxes or whatever.
Oh,
you
look
know?
At this. Look, it's right under the top. Can you pop me on? I mean, my computer's about to die, too, so this might be the last thing we got. I want you to see...
the third baseman, number 13.
Look at his face. It's right on YouTube. It's got to have a million views. 700,000. But if you just watch his face when he gets hit, he looks like that kid getting hit by a beer can. Or like, or when you're walking to work... And something, and the guy goes through a puddle.
I don't know, man. I don't know how he does it.
Crowd goes nuts.
Yeah, that's just classes.
Classes, yeah. Now, everybody, even Curt Schilling, who is a Boston fan, said that you had your shot and you missed it. And then Girardi goes, shit. He goes, ape shit.
Yeah, he does look kind of...
See, kind of...
Yeah, Girardi's going fucking ballistic.
It's mostly visual. Sorry about that, folks.
That's all right.
But now the benches are clean.
And then the obligatory of everybody running out into the field.
Yeah, well, Brett Gardner and stuff, they had to hold him back. Robinson Cano, they didn't charge out like, we're going to get him. If that was Jeter or something...
Yeah.
Then it'd be a different fucking story.
Yeah, and I mean, this fucking scumbag pitcher, like, dude, you have a problem with this guy? You have a problem with A-Rod? Fucking meet him afterwards. Be a fucking man. Don't throw a ball, a 2-pound ball or whatever it is, at the guy at 90 miles an hour. You're a faggot, Ryan Dempster. You're a faggot. That's what you are. You're the kind of guy that wouldn't fucking go after a guy. You'll go and key his fucking car. That's what the equivalent of throwing at a guy. I don't even believe in this throwing at a guy bullshit anyway.
Oh, no.
I really don't.
No, it has to be.
I don't know. Throwing at somebody?
Yep.
No, I don't buy it. If you want to fucking, if you want to pitch a guy inside, I get it. You want to be guy crowds a plate and you want to pitch inside, but you're throwing at a guy. You're throwing a ball 90-something miles an hour. If this wasn't in baseball, if this was just hanging out somewhere, you get arrested. Yeah. You would get arrested.
It's a part of the game, though.
Part of the game.
You have to do it the right way, though. You have to.
That's what I'm talking about. When you give somebody chin music. When you brush a guy off, that's part of the game. Right. This is not part of the game.
This is no.
That's what I'm talking about. Pitching a guy inside and he crowds a plate. As a pitcher, if you have a personal vendetta
against someone and you throw behind him. Even Kurt Schilling, like I was saying, all the guys were like, "You lost your shot. You had a chance to beam him, or you scared him." Roger Clemens did that all the time, threw him behind Piazza and whatnot. You had your shot. For you to do it again, now you're fucked up. Because what happens is that pitcher has to answer to every one of those Boston Red Sox. We play them 7 more times. Big Poppy is getting plunked.
It
happens on teams.
Of course.
Where you're like, dude, it's your shit. Cut the shit. Now I'm going to get fucking beamed, all right? Batting third.
Do you know where it doesn't happen as much at all? National League. Because these motherfuckers got to go up and back.
They got to go up and back. Exactly.
They'll do it in the American League. I'm not hitting them. Because I got to bat. Batting up in fucking fourth inning.
Let's see what this is here. This is after, I guess.
Joe Girardi looks like if Joe Fernandez didn't had a few extra chromosomes. Ryan Dempster
said six. You doubled. Fuck.
Where the fuck is. I'm waiting for George. He's not here yet. Guys, 320 innings the last 120 innings. He threw the first ball behind him, intentional. He threw the next one inside. He didn't hit him, intentional. At some point, Brian Anora's got to give him a warning. And he should have thrown him out of the game. It's the bottom line. Everyone knows it was intentional. And I don't understand why he's left in the game. It looks like Jason Kidd. Give us a warning. You know, Brian and I have a long history together. Back in A-ball, double A, and I respect him. But that was wrong. And, you know, the one thing that you can't do is you can't start changing the system because maybe you don't like it. Brian Dempster has been a player rep. He's been very involved in the union. And he knows these guys, this is what they decided to do. So you can't change it. Just take your pot shots. And you'd have to have your head in the sand with the comments that came from the other side not to know that something might be up. So I thought it was handled very poorly. I was upset about yesterday because calls went against us. They changed the complexion of the game. And then you have this. It's just flat wrong.
Moving forward,
you go, boy. Joe Girardi. You greasy.
Brian Dempster didn't hit Nelson Cruz. He didn't hit Francisco Cervelli. You know?
Those are other suspended guys.
Right.
So I think it's flat wrong.
Are you considering, you know, everything that's been going on off the field and what happened tonight? How proud are you of these guys that they battled back with?
Extremely proud. They rallied behind it, you know. It got us going and scored runs. And, you know, we ended up getting big hits by a lot of guys. Alex hit a home run. Guardy has a big triple. I mean, it's a great win for us.
Did you offer any kind of an explanation?
No, not really. I'm not so sure I could have heard him as mad as Rob was yelling. But there is no explanation. There is. It's just. I mean, you have to be aware. It can't happen. You can't just start taking pot shots because you disagree with the way the system is set up. You voted as players, and you know what? I've been a player union rep. I've been in all those negotiations. I know how it goes. If you don't like it, speak up. But you can't change the rules.
Did you work out your contract? Did you both have initial warnings or that he wasn't ejected?
Both. First, that he wasn't ejected. Come on. And you know what? And I'll be really disappointed.
Right, answer your text, Joe Girardi.
If he's not suspended where he misses a start. Because they have a lot of days off and you could finagle something, you know? Like if he took the suspension tomorrow, if he got suspended, he wouldn't miss a start. I mean, it has to cost him something.
Joe, do you regret your...
There's more of the...
I don't want to hear anymore.
we won't hear any more of it. But he goes on to say, like, he's like, I saw the kids in the crowd. And I said, he's like, what's the matter with the world today? What's the matter with you people? You know, he's like, if that was your son, would you want that? And he makes a good point. He's like, don't pick on... You know, he didn't throw out Nelson Cruz or any other steroid guys.
Obviously, he has something against A-Rod.
And it's just it's becoming a joke.
But
how they're treating these athletes in this sport.
Right. Normally, what happens when we're playing? Somebody gets plunked, and you have that thing where you're like, and Joe Girardi was screaming.
Right.
He's like, someone's getting hit as he's walking off the field. Someone's getting hit. Someone's getting hit.
Nobody threw back?
No, because A-Rod fucking went 430 feet on the pitcher. There it is. You don't have, someone's going to get, not in that game, because that's an automatic ejection. So CC Sabathia could, the starting
and
pitcher
plus,
couldn't do it.
And plus, they wanted to. You know, you can't afford to be putting guys on.
When something like that happens, win the game, get them later. You know what I mean? Find your first at bat on the next game, someone's getting hit right in the ribs. You know what I mean? You never go for the head. You go for the ass, the legs, the ribs.
Right.
But the best thing that A-Rod could have done was fucking blasted 430 feet on.
It's your best retaliation as a hitter.
Exactly.
You know? It's just a fucking joke.
But I love this stuff, though. I'm a baseball guy. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't mind it either, but I just... what are you going to do? You want to take another break real quick, dude?
Yeah, sure. We only took one.
Yeah, we got to do our sponsors. And I don't know. We're still waiting for George.
Western Echo, if they were losing the game in the ninth, someone would be going down hard. Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they had to make sure they won that game.
You got to win that game.
You know,
got to win that. That's,
win over that.
That's the first time all year that I was like screaming at the TV, that I was really pumped up and watched. It was like a playoff atmosphere. It was just an odd game, but it was great. And
here it is. You know me. I've been a Yankee hater since I've been a kid.
Sure.
Oh, never liked the Yankees. Always want them to lose. Here's what I got. I want the Yankees to fucking win it all on A-Rod's shoulders. And then him to turn around and go, Hawk Tui, fuck all you motherfuckers. I'm going back to Texas.
I'm leaving on a high note.
I'm going to the Mets.
Yeah.
I'm going crosstown.
I'm out.
I love that.
No, he's 39. He's going to be, I'll see you at 41.
Yeah.
I'll see you at 41.
I'll see you in 41. The big one. All right, let's take a break. And when we go back, we're going to play, I want to play Tom Green. Tom Green rapping.
Okay.
Tom Green.
We also got to talk about some TV shows.
Yep, some TV shows. It's the vague.
And vagina.
The vague Conti and Kenny
vaginas
show.
And penises.
And we'll see if George gets here. George Jenkins. All right, it's a Conti Kenny show on More Like Radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no. God, oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? God. Not as painful as that. Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Radio.com. It's like radio on drugs.
Hey, everybody. This is Joe Conte with Kenny Michaels from the Conte and Kenny Show. And we just wanted to let you know about a brand new podcast we are doing called Conte and Kenny Shorts.
It's a bunch of stuff that we had from the newer stuff that we just re-release from our regular 3-hour show on Monday nights, but we also have dug around and found all the good stuff that we've been doing for 7 years. Or if you like the crazy stories, there's a ton of them. We just got to find them, grab them, put them out.
Yeah. The podcast is anywhere from 20 to 35 minutes, and you get like 2 or 3 quick segments with a couple of little things in between, you know, little cute little things. And so far, people like it. So the best way to do it is to either go to ContiandKenny.com or just subscribe on iTunes.
And also, remember, I've only stopped doing cocaine for about 3 years. So there's 4 years of cocaine.
Ah.
Remember that. Just as much drinking.
B, C, and A, C. Before Coke and after Coke.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. I like it. B, C, and A, C.
B, C, and A, C.
So, there are some good times.
Yep. This is Conte and Kenny Shorts. A podcast of a podcast, which I like to say, based on our show, the Conte and Kenny Show.
Podcast of a podcast.
Yeah, because we do a show, but it's also a podcast. So that's a podcast of a podcast.
But we do a show, not a podcast.
But our show was still podcasted.
But if we podcasted it, then it would be not a show, it would be a podcast. But if we do a show, then we podcast it, and then we a podcast of a podcast. But that doesn't sound right.
Do you think people are still listening now?
No, that's why they go to podcasts.
They're not even listening to this commercial.
Why are you arguing with me?
I don't know.
You're completely correct.
Conte and Kenny Show Shorts. Conte and Kenny Shorts from the show, the Conte and Kenny Show on More Like Radio, every Monday night, 7 to 10.
We had to shorten it up because we didn't think we could do this much longer.
It's over 2 minutes. How are we shortening this up?
No, I mean our careers.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Enjoy.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Man Cave Radio Show.
Welcome to the Sully Show.
Alcohol by volume on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Masters of None.
Get ready for 360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
The Conte and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Hooter and Greenway Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're listening to Live from the Morgue on MoreLikeRadio.com.
More Like Radio!
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Sometimes we stink and you don't.
Shut up.
The Conte and Kenny Show.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to do this myself for a few minutes. Kenny is, he's out having a smoky smoke. It's a Conte and Kenny program on morelikeradio.com, and I apologize to any of the More Like Radio staff, personnel, people. I didn't realize that the last all shows thing on here had two shows that haven't been on the program, or one that just left and the other one hasn't been on for a while. I don't know why I don't have an updated one, but I looked, I didn't see anything in the whatever, nobody cares about this. The phone number is 330-2-CRINGE, 330-227-4643. I sent somebody a message. I want this motherfucker to call in.
Who's that?
Our the one dude that's fucking seems to have more knowledge of this show. Larry, I just had
you're
a message.
Dying to talk to him.
Yeah, just call in. But believe me, we'll lead you. You don't
talk to Fergie Jenkins. You talk to Fergie Jenkins. What's his?
Yeah, he's coming in with J.R. Richard.
They're gonna do acid and pitch a no hitter. Yeah. That's an old baseball reference. Digging
become
the crates
homeless
on that
and
one.
Come back.
Yeah, digging the crates on that one.
Yeah, the yeah, the phone number and of course our Twitter accounts. The show's at CNK Show. Mine is at Joe Conte Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. And subscribe to both our show and the Conte and Kenny Shorts on iTunes. Or you can go to ContiandKenny.com or go to MoreLikeRadio.com. And that's about it. So, I would love for this guy to call me. And I don't know where Fergie Jenkins is. He's got me calling him Fergie Jenkins. Hi. Hey. All right. What do you want to do? We'll talk about TV real quick.
Sure, your little TV. I'm gonna get bashed for this one.
That's okay.
Gonna get bashed.
If you do not watch Breaking Bad, okay, this is what you do: go to the video store, or go and
there's
buy,
no more video stores.
There's no video store. Go to your local video VHS tape store, and get VHS tapes of the first four seasons of Breaking Bad. Spend a week watching it, and then just watch on demand the first two episodes from this season, and you will be all caught up, and you will thoroughly enjoy the rest of the final episodes of this show. This is, to me, this is bigger than... considering, I'll bet you the numbers that they're getting for Breaking Bad right now are ridiculous. Maybe not as big of numbers as, like, you know, Cheers' last show and like, you know, MASH's last show. But you have to realize how much more programming there is now and people watching things when they want, on demand and all that. But this show is huge. It is coming to a boiling point, and it's just amazing on how many people are just locked into the show. Because this, Kenny, I will tell you something. I know what you like. This show is right up your alley.
Yeah.
God, dude. And, I mean, but you don't have as much, but you should. With the time that you're on the road, dude, you could be caught up with Breaking Bad in, like, 2 weeks. Not go, you know, not like watching a whole, you know, fucking 20, you know, There's not that many episodes because the first season.
I can't find any video stores on the road.
There's no Blockbusters or anything?
Easy Videos or Dollar Video. I can't
Easy
find
Video,
any.
Yeah. Remember Dollar Video?
Can't find any.
Well, that's where you got a gap. And
well, I have a little bit of info for you.
Okay.
To defend myself on what I watch on the road. Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, my girlfriend likes Duck Dynasty.
Biggest watched, highest rated watched show on cable of all time. Bypassing the last episode of The Bible from the History Channel by really? A couple hundred thousand.
It can't be.
It absolutely is.
It can't.
11.8 million. Breaking Bad, about 8, 9 million.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I think there's a reason for that. The reason for that is, number one, people, they watch Breaking Bad when they want. Or they, you know, they don't watch it. Maybe, you know, they rent, you know, not rent it, but they get it on demand.
They're not watching when it happens.
See, I've coined a phrase, everybody, and everybody can use it. It's called a project show. Everybody has their project shows. Duck Dynasty is not a project show. Duck Dynasty, you can watch whenever you like.
They play it all the time.
They play it all the time. It's on. All of these shows, True Blood, Dexter, Breaking Bad, The Sopranos when they were on, these were shows that you need to watch them in order.
In succession.
It's I call it a project show. So Breaking Bad isn't going to get the numbers like Duck Dynasty, because Duck Dynasty, you're like, oh yeah, it's on tonight. And you watch whatever episode is on.
What a show.
But it's on also every fucking night.
Right? Well, the new shows are
on
Wednesdays.
It's on every night.
But they'll play later. Yeah, they'll play a couple hours of it.
So you watch.
I've seen
a couple episodes. It's mildly entertaining. It's okay. And you know the way I am with reality shows. Like, I go ballistic.
You know
me too.
I
don't go ballistic on it. It's okay. It's cute. It's like, it's okay, you know.
You know me. I don't watch any of that shit.
No, you don't watch any of them?
I don't watch any of that. Unless it's like a Sopranos.
You're not as vocal the way I am. Like, I go fucking ape shit. I don't care.
Any of that reality shit, I can't stand. The thing that's hooked me on the show.
You never watch, like, Jersey Shore or anything?
No, never did?
Okay.
I would peek in on Jersey Shore once in a while. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like a, whatchamacallit? No, I think my computer's, that's it.
And let me get
there
in the
chair. There you go. I would peek in on it, you know what I mean? I would see, I probably watched maybe 5 episodes of the Jersey Shore just because it was towards the end, and I kind of liked the guy Paulie, you know, it doesn't matter. But I was never like, oh, I got to sit down and watch, like Sopranos was a fucking, that was an evening of, you know, Sopranos, Curb Your Enthusiasm, there was a couple of different shows where it was just back to back to back where you just didn't do anything and just watched that. Duck Dynasty is not like that. If I got into Breaking Bad or Dexter, that's how I would be with it. It would be an event for me. I would make sure I got home and in time, had everything ready, and then turn the lights off, lights, camera, action, popcorn, that whole thing. But Duck Dynasty, it's just a nice little show.
I've seen a couple episodes.
It's not a reality show where it's actual reality. It's all set up. It's scripted. There's things.
Well, they say it's a non-scripted show. I don't think it's as. I think it's all set up.
The situations are set up.
The situations are set up, and I think these guys, they're goofy enough that it transcends and it comes out okay.
Yeah,
they probably don't have to edit a lot of stuff.
It just entertains me. I have no idea
why. My girlfriend loves it.
I love the show. I absolutely love the show. I watch the reruns, the replays. I just dig it. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It's like Hootie and a Blowfish or something.
My friend Eric just sent me a message and told you to sign up for Netflix. But that'll never happen.
No, I fucking did Netflix, and I thought I signed up for Netflix, and I was like, oh, yeah, Netflix. I'll get, like, all the new movies. I'll pay a couple of bucks. And fucking bullshit.
Oh, you're funny. You're going to get the new movies?
Yeah, like their... Like
their new movies is Howard the Duck Part 6 or whatever
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. I was like, fuck Netflix, because I was on the road.
Yeah.
So I ordered Netflix. I'm like, yeah.
Netflix is for shows.
For TV shows. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You don't get any like new releases.
It blows.
If you paid... I would pay like $5 if I could get something that just came out on DVD.
Yeah.
You know, like a Batman, you know, Dark Knight or something like yeah. that. Bullshit. No, I'm like, fuck this. Why don't I watch Cheers again?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's like new on Netflix, risky business. It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Charles Grodin's got a fucking St. Bernard.
on Beethoven 2.
on the front page. Exactly. fucking Ratatouille and shit. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Fucking animated brat. Cooks. Brilliant.
But, so you never really got, you know, I never knew if you were into... Any reality shows?
No,
at all.
No.
But not this is your one.
This is the one because it's not like a Jersey Shore or Jerseylicious. It's not the cameras walking around the nightclub with people or something. It's certain situations that all the guys are hanging out and they're all likable guys. All the big beards and stuff. Uncle Cy is funny. They're just a bunch of kooky dudes. I don't know why. For the life of me, I can't figure it out, but I just enjoy watching the show. And I've never been into those kind of things.
You know what? I can see why people like it. It's kind of like, it's cute. It's cute.
It's good, wholesome show. At the end of the show, they pray over dinner and whatnot. You know, thank you for this food that comes out of
right.
the water.
How about them? Ooh, they've been praying to the lucky stars that they have a fucking show.
Yeah.
How about that? How about thank your lucky stars that you got a fucking show on television?
The major, I guarantee 90% is Southern. You know, not in the metropolis areas. Not in any kind of an L.A. or New York.
I don't know. Mike likes it. You like it. My girlfriend likes it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Mike who?
Fucking Champagne Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah. That's right.
So, you know, it seems that there's a...
It's just a good fucking... It's just a funny... It's not laugh out loud. Well, there are some points of it, but it just... I'm entertained. I'm entertained by the show, and I like watching it. It's just something about it. I don't know.
You know what I've been watching? There's only 16 episodes, and I think I've seen all of them. It's called Brain Games.
TJ Hooker?
No. I've seen
Brain Games. It was on HBO.
No, it's on Nat Geo. It's on the Nat Geo thing. With the
you don't remember that HBO? It was on after about probably like Fraggle Rock, and it'd be Brain Games.
No, but this is different.
Oh, it's different.
This is more, you know.
Oh, it's.
It's goof. It's not goofy. It's very. It's simple, and it's just it does what it's stuff that like messes with your brain, like why you see certain things and
right.
and all that. And then there's something called your bleeped up brain.
I've heard of that. Yeah,
that's a pretty cool. That's a pretty cool show too. I like that one. The Marianne, the girls said, "Do you want us to call in?"
Sure.
I just put sure. I wanted to put absolutely not, but sure came out. You know why? Because it was way too much to put absolutely not. Sure was real easy. It was just easy to just put
you're
sure.
You're eating a yogurt.
Yeah.
Eat my yogurt.
But Brain Games, I've been watching that. I don't know, man. It's just, I'll just tool around. You know what show I like that's a show that's on network television, but now it's on repeats all over, is Criminal Minds. I like Criminal Minds.
Yeah,
never got into CSI, and I got into NCIS and Criminal Minds when I was out of work for like a week when I hurt my knee, and I didn't know what to watch. I started watching this show. I'm like, Criminal Minds. It's all like serial killers and sociopaths.
Yeah, my brother, when he lived with me, he got me into those shows.
It's fun, you know? It's cool.
I don't watch too many of them. The one thing that I do is I watch the first 48.
I can't get into the first 48.
I watch a couple of episodes and I'm like, I'm going to die somewhere. Just some random shooting. It's creepy. The music they have.
How about when they show, when it's all about gangs? You know, every time I watch like a show about gangs, I lock my doors.
No, it's all black on black crime. It's
mostly inner city shit.
It's black people.
I'm talking about gangs, those shows about gangs and...
Chicago, right now. He's going through one of the biggest gang wars of all time. One of them, the biggest ones of all time.
George, grab a headphones, bro. All right. What's
up, bud? Hey, George, what's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
All right.
Did you get lost?
Traffic on the damn parkway.
Man. Really? Sit right at the end, bro. Just plug the headphones in.
Right into that thing,
yeah? All right. Awesome. Let me, car pile up. Get out of here.
Yeah. Plus construction.
So north or south side?
Northbound.
Okay, good. Well, it's still going to screw me.
You know what? At least got a half hour, man.
Yeah.
It's our pal, man. George Jenkins Jr., my actor friend. Dude, yeah, I finally saw the commercial.
Did you see it?
It was on the second game.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It didn't come on the first game.
I know. I was pissed. That was a lot of pressure, too.
Can we put the camera on you? Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely, okay, man.
All right, cool. I'm going to take it off my fucking stupid face, and I'll put it on yours. That's our pal. It is, for anybody that's watching, no, it is not Cuba Gooding Jr. I know you get that all the time.
Yeah.
I did the trailer park boards. So, dude, man,
yeah.
Congratulations on the commercial.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, man.
George is a comic, and he's one of those guys. He's like me. He's a comic, but he has his job.
Right.
But you, now how long have you been doing the acting thing?
Oh, man, the acting thing. It started about 2010.
Get
right,
out of here.
Right when I started
fucking
getting...
Fucking 2010?
Yeah, right when I started getting back into stand-up again, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you gotta, now, is this a national commercial, or is this a...
This one, I guess, is regional for the, you know, the New York City tri-state area. They got 506 spots, and, yeah, went in on the audition, and... Sweet. Nailed it down. It was pretty good.
You gonna buy us some drinks after the show?
Sure, absolutely.
Rich man.
So how long you been doing stand-up?
I started in my 20s and then I took a break. You know, did family life and got married a couple times.
Or a fucking job that has you all over the country.
Yeah.
But you need to, you have 36-year-old man bills.
Right, big bills and yeah. Kids. So 2010 I said, you know what, let me... really get into it again, and you know, you get a little older, you get more mature, so I says, you know what, let me just give stand up a real good hit again, and I did, man. I took some classes, and ever since then I've been doing, I did a couple shows with Joe and Matt Bridgestone and some friends. And
but now, did you ever take any acting courses, or because, like, you know, anything for acting?
I've read a lot of books.
Yeah?
Yeah, study a lot of acting books, and even with stand-up, too. The first book I got was The Comedy Bible, like they tell you to get.
Which one is the...
I forget the chick's name.
It's called Napalm and Silly Putty by George Carlin.
And I
Did
got...
you say the chick's name?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I would go get another book.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. I'm kidding, ladies.
And I got Franklin Ajayi's book. I met him at the Laugh Lounge.
Franklin Ajayi, I read parts of his book.
He's a cool dude.
Comic Insights.
He's been around forever.
Yes.
Acting forever, doing stand-up forever.
Yes.
Written for everybody.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys, nobody knows who the fuck he is.
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy, man.
Yeah. You know who he is, too? Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm saying you met him?
Like, no, I never met him.
Oh, the way
but,
he said it, like
you
met
but
him.
I say he's cool as shit because I've heard stories about him, and also he's just cool.
Oh, he's, you
know,
that kind of cool.
He's just cool, you know.
He's a cool, like a
yeah,
cucumber
he's,
kind
yeah,
of guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Franklin Ajayi, of course. He was in Jazz Singer and all kinds of stuff.
Neil Diamond movie?
Yeah.
Really? I don't even remember
he's,
that
he's
movie.
He's been around probably like the early 70s.
Well, he did some work with Richard Pryor, right?
Absolutely.
He wrote on Richard Pryor's show that only ended up with like four episodes or whatever it is.
Yeah, he was on Carson. His first movie, I think, was Car Wash.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. He's on Car Wash.
He wrote Car Wash.
Holy shit, that's
right. Yeah, I asked him, I says, oh, you look good. I said, you know, I got Car Wash. He's like, did you buy it? I was like, whoa.
Wow, he
still wants some royalty money.
He wants it.
I said, my girlfriend got it for me. It was
a
gift.
He wants 17 cents when you get it like $3.99. And
then he was cool, though. Franklin was a real mellow
guy.
That's
great.
Yeah.
I have a thing about acting where,
right
now, the big thing is people talking about Breaking Bad.
Okay.
I don't know if you know the show.
I heard of it. I didn't watch it yet.
The show is ridiculous, right? And everybody keeps
talking about a bunch of honkies selling methamphetamine.
Is that what it's about?
That's all it is.
My dad was telling me about it.
Let me tell you something. It's an amazing show.
Yeah.
But My thing is that the acting in it
it's
is
it's like
great.
The Wire just in Arkansas.
Is that right?
It's in New Mexico, motherfucker.
All right, same shit.
But the thing about it is, and this is, I just came up with a phrase.
Right.
Great scripts uh-huh. make great actors.
Yes.
Like, do you ever, I mean, I'm not trashing actors, but I'm saying, do you ever watch a bad movie and go, but the acting was phenomenal? You just go, the whole thing sucked.
Right.
When you watch a great movie, great writing, the acting just, unless there's somebody who's really bad in it, but usually you just go, but they were all great.
Yeah.
Like, they were just good.
That's what I like about film. No.
And that's the thing. I think you take a great script, and I do not say acting's easy. I think acting is a skill.
Right.
I think it's something that you can learn to do. Mm-hmm. I think comedy is more of a gift. You can learn how to do stand up, but you have to be funny. You can't teach how to
be
funny.
Right. As stand up comics, we are actors because we're acting and acting out.
Right.
But sometimes. Some people are more comfortable on stage, and then some people, when you get those cameras in your face, you know, they call that your soul being frightened. Some people kind of, like, clam up a little bit, or it changes. So you feel different, you know. Like, we're doing a radio show here, you could feel one way, and then, Joe, as you know, you could do stand-up, and it feels different than this.
It does.
Yeah.
It does feel different.
And for me, stand-up, every time I go up, it still feels different. Like, I haven't, like, plateaued to the point where it's like, okay, this just feels... the way it is, and that's it. It always...
I don't think it ever does.
Right, and that's what I heard.
Which is always good.
Yeah, because it's always good growth, too.
Yeah, why would you want to be doing something that you're like,
Yeah,
you know, you're yawning through it, you know what I mean? I mean, you may be doing old material that you're always doing,
right?
But it never... Like, the material might be old for you or whatever, but the experience is never old.
Yeah, and you never perform it the same way.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I love about comedy.
Exactly. Sometimes when I'm performing, and for some reason there's just something, whether it's something that happens in front of me or something pops into my head, I'll be doing my act.
Right.
Not robotic or autopilot.
Right.
But I can do my act as I'm thinking whether I'm going to do another bit or a new bit after that.
Right.
I can perform my act as my mind is going, all right, what do I do next? Do I want to go to the main, or do I want to do something different?
Yeah.
And you kind of like, you have two conversations going on
exactly
during a performance.
Yeah.
You know?
People don't know that. Like, that's why they tell everybody, you know, keep cell phones off, keep the chatter down, because the concentration levels that stand-up takes, it's almost like a millisecond that you have a thought process, and then you start, and once you go.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So, it's a beautiful art form.
Well, yeah, one of the first times it ever happened to me is I did probably about, I don't know, a minute and a half. And I was literally saying my act, and I'm thinking about something completely different in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm getting laughs, and I'm doing the whole thing, and I'm like, this is a fucking weird thing to do.
Right.
You know? Where you're kind of outside. You're just like, not, and I don't say that like the, where you're just like, yeah, well, you know, here's the joke. It wasn't I was sick of my material or anything like that. Yeah. I was just thinking two steps ahead. Man. But you're thinking two
like
steps
a great
ahead.
Pool as you do. Great pool players think five and six shots ahead.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So if you could be a comic and think one or two jokes ahead,
yeah,
then you're in the. I think you're
Greg
in the ballpark.
Greg Louganis was a great pool player.
No, not that type of pool. I meant billiards, my friend.
Oh,
and I don't think. Yeah, he definitely brought a positive game to the pool.
Yeah, it's almost like a dream world, you know? You guys got a nice studio here. Thanks for inviting me up.
Oh, man. I wish you got here earlier, man.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have you come back again, without a doubt.
Definitely.
Do you live close?
I'm down in Watchung, off 22.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
In the chat room,
GPS said 26 minutes, and then, of course, it took 55
5 hours,
the ten car pileup with everybody's front ends were kind of bent up like that, so you know they were like texting.
Yeah, exactly.
Western Echo in the chat said, "Wade, how'd you get Obama on the show?" And P Rock goes, "Nice get." That's because they see you far away and they just see the fucking head.
Oh, okay.
But now,
come on, all black guys don't look alike.
No. Do you how do you equate? Like, what do you think is harder? Acting or stand-up? Not what's... See, because when people... Like, when actors talk about how difficult it is, I believe it's difficult to get the work.
Yes.
Like, you hear about These yes. kids, these people in L.A., they've been waiter and waitressing for years.
Right.
But not Broadway acting, not right. live play acting.
Just film.
Movie and what do you think is harder?
That's a good question. They're both tough because, like, stand-up, you have to establish yourself, and then you're grinding, and you're networking, and you're meeting people, and that's kind of like the same mm-hmm. thing once you do with the acting, and you try to, you know, get these casting people to bite.
Right.
And then once you get selected, like, that's getting through the door. Then you got to go on an audition. And then after that, if you're selected, then, you know, you can perform. But what I find for me, the answer to that is stand-up actually prepares you for that. Like, if you're in front of a room with, like, six casting people, it's kind of like...
You're doing a show.
Yeah.
You've done coffee shops.
You've been there.
You're doing a shitty show, by the way.
Yeah.
you've done a coffee house in front of three Chinese women. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So if casting directors...
Shows help.
Yeah. When you can figure out how to shut that off, that nervousness, and when you change the nervousness into motivation, kind of like, all right, take a deep breath.
Right.
You're shitting yourself, but you're like, all right, just nail it. The stand-up. Yeah. Acting, you could sit there and go, oh, can I try that again? You know, unless you're doing a Ray Liotta, Goodfellas, four-minute walk through a kitchen scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You only got one take.
It's a lot of luck, too. I read in a book, and Woody Allen said 90% of your success is just showing up. Just like I showed up here today, you know, I didn't let the traffic beat me up. And I didn't Facebook message Joe and say, hey, man, I can't make it, or give you some lame excuse. You just go.
Yeah.
And my thing with show business, because it's so uncertain, is just it's going to be whatever it's going to be. That's what I tell myself to take the pressure off. Whatever it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. If you're late for a show, you're late. You give somebody a text and somebody else does a couple extra minutes. You know, before right. you go on, and, you know, things happen in life, man. We're just lucky to wake up every day. You see what's going on in the world.
Yeah. I've really taken to the phrase, it all works out.
There you go.
I've really taken more in this smaller phase of things. Like, if something's going on, and, you know, like we were having problems with our technology when we first started.
Yes.
The show today.
Oh, today.
We were having technical issues.
That happens.
And I was really pissed.
Yeah.
And I usually don't get like that, but I was a little grumpy when I got here to begin with.
Right.
But the new me.
45 minutes of bitching on the
air.
Oh,
yeah. I just bitched
first
about
it. I didn't say three words. It was just bitching.
But you guys are professionals, and you pulled it out.
But the thing is, when it comes to certain things, like if you're fighting with somebody or you're having an issue with business partners, you know what? It all just works out.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you're running a little late in the show. You call the guy. You say, look, I'm running a little late.
Right.
Hey, no problem. What, and I'm going to be there 15 minutes late.
I think Sam Kinison would disagree.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. No, it's just...
And I says, you know what, I'll get more minutes than I do on stage anyway.
Because you know what, people throw the word stress around so much.
So bad.
And it's, you know that stress wasn't even a word until the 70s?
Is that right?
Nobody was stressed out in the 50s.
So you learn something new every day.
How about every Korean War fucking veteran?
But the word stress.
Oh, it was shell-shocked.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go back to the 80s and start over.
But it wasn't used the way oh, my God, I was so stressed at work today. Why? I was so bored. Really? You were stressed? You know what I mean?
Like, I got what you're saying,
use that.
I'm only trying to.
Right.
But really?
The true.
Completely pumped the show with the stupid jokes.
But that's the true stress of being shell-shocked. But we watched your commercial.
Right.
And I was like, and I counted, and I'm like,
right.
And I know that, I don't know what, but I go, motherfucker had four words.
Right.
But is there a five-word thing with acting, or is it five lines in movies?
Yeah, I did four. They actually did two shoots. One was for their website. So I actually did five words on one shoot, and then they cut four on another. But I'm SAG eligible now.
You did a great job.
Hey, I know. Yeah, did you like it?
It was a quick little thing, but because I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
and
that
I'm,
thing took like 4 hours for us to shoot.
That's not terrible, man. 4 hours.
Just for our scene. But
just for your scene,
We waited for them to shoot actually another scene.
Yeah.
Usually when you do shoots, when you come in, they're ready for your call time, and then, you know, you do your stuff. But I guess they were running behind, or just like how you said, equipment. Could be anything, man. It's that's a big process.
That SAG thing's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty good to have.
Yeah.
That's a nice little
I think that's why stand-ups gravitate to acting so much, because it's like, you know, like you hear it all the time, like a comic been doing it 20 years, he gets a break and he's on a show, and then he's going, "You mean you give me the lines?
I'm lucky.
And all I got to do is just say them?"
Yeah.
And granted, there's something to acting, and you know, it's not just blurting it out, but it's like all those years of writing, and you got to do it over and over again and try to perform it and get it right. Yeah. And then they're going, no, you just read this.
That's it.
Be like, holy shit.
And they could stop,
fucking
cut,
bring it on. Edit. Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
that's where stand-up, going back to your question, that's where it helps you more, because you're so seasoned, and you like you say, you did the crappy shows, you've done crowds, you've seen it all. Like, that doesn't disturb you anymore. And it's just like when you go on a run with them, they're like, "Oh, you nailed it." And it's like, wow.
That's why I think when you watch these actors that are really good.
Right.
And most of them, because like when you watch Breaking Bad and you haven't seen, but you're watching these scenes, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the scene from the first.
He's mentioned Breaking Bad like 17
times. Yeah, I know. And I love the show.
I'm gonna check it out now.
And I love the show Dexter. Dexter and Breaking Bad are like my two favorite shows. But you're watching like any scene. It doesn't matter. Like, think of a great scene in like Goodfellas or whatever. And you're watching like them and you're going, "Man, these guys are amazing."
Yeah.
But then you think of it now. People who watch stand-up comics.
Right.
You're watching, you know, like somebody who's amazing, has been doing it for 20 years.
Right.
And they go to a club and watch him.
Right.
And they watch him like, you know, he's doing his thing and he's doing an hour and 20 minutes, right?
Just
and
killing it like
killing
nothing.
Killing it. And then he's stopping and fucking with this person. Yeah. And this person says something to him. He smashes that guy, fucks with the table here, goes back and does interaction, and he's doing his material in between.
Right.
If you don't know anything, you're like, "Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. So how'd that person do that?" But we can actually go, it's completely feasible to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Whether we do it yet or not, it's completely feasible. So that's why when you look at the great, great acting, you go, you know what? When you're doing it long enough, you know all the tricks.
And you know
how to act.
Yeah. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd, funny actor. You know, he's been in Anchorman and stuff.
Yes, I've seen
Paul. He got nailed. He got a little bit of shit for, because he said, he's like, "This acting thing, it's easy."
Mm-hmm.
But he's never, you know, he's done Anchorman and Forgetting Sarah Marshall or The Bromance or whatever. He's never done, you know, Goodfellas or The Godfather or something, you know.
That's his selection, what they kind
of get
him.
So, of course, he's a funny guy.
Right.
He's probably, you know, he's a character actor, but he's funny.
Yeah.
And, of course, but he's never done. Here's another thing.
Actors don't like people saying that. Like
typecasting?
No. Other actors saying that this shit's
easy. Well, there's very certain few that comes very naturally, too. Very certain few. Like, one of the great Brando stories is they're in Lee Strasberg's, the whatchamacallit, the actor studio,
mm-hmm.
when it first started. And they go, "All right, here's an exercise." And they're all sitting around, and all the actors, and they go, "Okay, now you're a chicken, but you're a chicken that's just about to get a nuclear bomb exploded on top of you. It's coming. Right. What would you do?" So everybody else jumped up and started doing, "Wah, wah, wah," freaking out like chickens. And Brando's just sitting in the back of his chair. So Lee Strasberg goes, "Well, what are you doing?" He goes, "I'm a fucking chicken. I don't know what a bomb is." Brilliantly hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just sat there and he goes, "I don't know what a fucking, I don't know what a bomb is."
Yeah.
You know? So there's a certain level of, you know what I would like to experience if I ever get the opportunity in show business is I did a small commercial for a little a kind of like community service, kind of a, eat locally kind of a thing. It was a free spot, 30 seconds. But at the time I was doing Sopranos impersonations.
There you go.
So as I watch the film, I'm doing Paulie Walnuts, and I'm doing his hand gestures because, you know, you don't know what to do with your hands.
Right.
You know? So I'm doing Paulie Walnuts. I'm like, I'm doing Paulie Walnuts on this little, you know, I didn't get paid or anything like that. It was just this little lowball thing.
Yeah.
But I would love to experience what, say you're like a Daniel Day-Lewis, mm-hmm. okay? put him in an outfit, my left foot, or Butcher, whatchamacallit, from Gangs of New York.
Right.
Or throw me in some kind of a costume where I could actually kind of dig into it. I would love to experience.
Dude,
don't forget, too.
Cinematography. Music.
Yes.
The music in movies. Like, if somebody comes up to you, Kenny, right? Somebody after a show,
right?
You too, George. Just like, and they were like, "Oh man, you know that was great." You know, like, how stand up is it really hard? Okay. Let me ask you something. What do you tell them? What do you say?
I'm usually like,
"It must be really hard." What do you tell them?
What do you think you would say? I guess I say, "Buy me a drink or something."
No, I just tell them. Just going to keep working at it.
No. Not like they ask that they want to do it. They just go, My God, that looks really hard. Is that hard? What would you tell them?
I've probably been asked this question 9,000 times.
Right. You just can't think of it.
Can't think of the answer.
You would say or what you have said? I know what I say. I know what I say every single time.
What do you say, Joe?
I say, it's easy. The business of it is hard.
Yeah.
The performance is easy.
Yeah.
And you know why I say that? Because I know for a fact that most people, 99% of the fucking population, can't do it.
They won't even
attempt it. Wouldn't even bother attempting it. So it's like you're one of those polar bear people jumping in the cold water, and everybody's going, "Dude, what are you, crazy? Come on in. It's fucking cool. It's all right." You say it knowing that they're not going to jump in. Actors constantly talk about Julia Roberts. I'll never forget it. When she did Pretty Woman, I heard an interview and she was talking about how she hung out with prostitutes for 4 months and it was to get, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Just shut your fucking mouth so she could get the role.
Hung out with Beverly Hills call girls. She wasn't at Hunts Point.
Yeah, I know.
You
exactly.
Know.
Hunts Point, exactly.
I really don't believe she did that.
Exactly. Yeah. But and now I'm not saying acting's easy. But when it's something that you're like, man, everybody thinks they can do this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people try to do it.
You know what?
I'm going to tell them it's really difficult.
Nothing in life is easy, but you can make it better and you can make it easy on yourself.
Right.
Let's put it that way. And that's part of being a professional. Professional person is somebody who fixes and corrects things like your audio stuff. Fixed and corrected.
No. We didn't do that.
But you're anyway, professional.
We're not good at this part. Yeah. We just know how to fucking talk into the mic. Though. But I just think there's something, like I've always said, there's 4 main facets of entertainment. You have acting, you have athletes, right. You have musicians, and you have comedians.
Right.
3 of the 4 have successfully crossed over into one.
Yes.
Musicians, musicians.
I got what you're saying.
Athletes and comedians. Yes.
LeBron James is not doing a set at the Laugh Factory.
Right, but LeBron James, or look at Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal has been in movies, and he's done a good job.
Yeah.
Those 3 have successfully crossed over.
He books shows.
Into
does he really?
Yeah, well, he puts on a comedy tour.
Oh, but he's not like...
No, he's not on it. No, but he just uses his name, and it's a great thing for those other comics, because a friend of mine worked with them. He wasn't on the show. Right. But he was working, and these guys make a lot of money. But the point is that there have been many musicians, many comedians, and
you know
many
what the
athletes.
Difference between men and women is?
And become successful
actors.
I
like Shaq's his Gold Bond commercial. You see it, he does like the little shake.
Oh, yeah.
Shaq won.
My girl
nothing.
YouTube did it.
Shaq won.
Shaq's looking a little sweet in that commercial.
But how many actors? Think about all the actors that have bands.
Right.
Kevin Bacon, Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
That guy from
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp's in a band. What's his name? The guy who threw the phone Russell fucking Crowe. The only reason anybody goes to see those bands is because the famous person's in them. None of those bands ever become successful.
They working at it.
Yeah, George Carlin does a great bit about, and it's about Bruce Willis. But he's like, "Hey, you're some, 40 something, jumping on a blues band playing the harp."
Right.
Yeah, it's about, like, Bruce Willis.
Stop it.
Yeah,
Moonlighting.
When Planet Hollywood came out.
Oh, okay, yeah. And that's what I've always said. is that I've always said, I think acting, right. once you're an actor, it's kind of like, oh my God, you mean I get paid yes. to do this?
And that's what stand-up has done.
And that's the thing.
For me. Like, you know, you're running around, you're doing some shows, this and that. And then you book a gig like that, and you make up some monies and things for your transportation, whatever you got going on, you know, especially in the beginning of your stand-up career. But I read in a book where it says, you know, it's like a 10-year apprenticeship, you know. But, like, I've always had comedy, like, in my body. Like, when I wasn't performing, I wrote and wrote at home, and just I would make my kids laugh, stuff like that. So it's in you.
Yeah.
But you just got to get out there and then, like well, I said, show like, up and do it.
You have to remember, even someone like Jim Carrey, where they're like, oh, he had in Living Color, then overnight success. Ray Romano was selling water jugs door to door for 18 years. You know, Jerry Seinfeld was, you know, whatever. This guy was driving a cab.
Right.
You know, Jim Carrey was, you know, working with his father in Canada as a maintenance guy at a high school. You know,
right.
you know, all of this stuff. They think, oh man, he just popped on the scene. It's like, no we've been here a while.
You hear about those actors after they win awards or an Academy Award, they were sleeping in cars and doing whatever they had to do.
Yeah.
Eating beans and Franks.
Yeah.
So it's regular people, man. You got to have a survival job to start off no matter what it is. All the art books teach you that, you know, like they say, give it like a first 2 years as like a hobby or an experiment. And they say, even with stand-up, go hard for like the first 2 years, you know. I was all over the city last year just like touring every club I could hit, hitting every single club. And, you know, you tape your sets, you do a couple showcases, and you submit it to some casting people. That's how I got the New Hampshire Lottery commercial.
Is that the one where you were doing the parody?
Yeah, the parody with the whole Jerry Maguire
right,
thing.
Right, yeah, where he basically played the Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh,
part.
Oh, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And, dude, it's,
I mean,
George,
it's great.
I think George has been hitting the gym. Because he was like smaller back then. Believe me, he's not fat.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. And he looked a lot more like. Now he looks like Cuba Gooding Jr. if he was on the Andro. You know what I mean?
That's Joe when Joe CD says, oh, you look like Cuba on roids.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Exactly.
But we did it with a Tom Cruise lookalike. And it's on YouTube. It's on the Instant Ticket Set for Life.
It's called Instant Ticket Set for Life?
Yeah, if anybody types it in.
Yeah, check it in, Matt. Check it in. Check it out.
Yeah.
YouTube. Instant
Ticket Set for Life.
Instant Ticket Set for Life.
Or they can go to my YouTube channel, which is Geojenk.
Geojenk. Geojenk. Okay.
Yeah, Geojenk.
I like that.
Shorten it
Very
up
cool.
a little bit. Yeah. And then what I did was a set that I did at Gotham. That was the audition. Sent it up to New Hampshire.
Okay.
Got a call from a talent guy who saw my photo. And the next thing you know, you're on a plane and they're making hotel reservations and they're saying, you know, we're going to shoot this thing, and the check is in the mail.
And you're on your way, brother.
Yeah. So like way. how you said, it happens fast. And this business, how many shows have you done, Joe, where you're like, oh, I'm here at this crappy barn, and the next thing you're opening it up at on 46 somewhere or whatever big event.
No. It's always what kind of a shitty bar I'm at. That's how it pretty much starts, and that's how it ends. That's why I will always have a little love for Cameron Diaz.
What? And you know what the worst is when you do a show like someone like one of those Starland Ballroom shows we did a couple of years ago.
There you go, that's a big
right?
show.
2,500 people. First time my mother sees
about
me.
About 1,100. Kenny exaggerates.
See? It was about 3,000 people.
1,250.
Anything I could have just made noises. You know what I mean? And it was just brilliant. First time I ever I was doing stand-up for about 8 years. First time I ever let her see me, because I wanted her to see me, not in a coffee house.
You
or
let it
like
loose.
That. And it just went, it was 15 minutes of just great for me.
That's magic.
Yeah, it just was one of those nights. And like the next night, I'm in some, you know, Sam's Fish Shack in Point Pleasant in front of six people. And I'm like, what the last night I was on top of the world.
That's right.
And tonight I'm getting fish sticks for pay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
those
how it works.
That's the difference. You know?
That's how that, you know, that aspect
it
works.
Really does. It really just, it chops you. So you don't sit there and go, oh man, now here it comes. Now it's all going to come. It just chops you a little bit.
You got to be able to live with rejection.
Yeah.
In show business, and especially as a stand-up comic, but that's what makes you better.
And that's
you
know, a weird.
You pick,
I,
you
I
pick
have,
yourself up, and you know.
I hate rejection.
When I did it in my 20s, man, it crushed me, man. I was like getting not getting booed, but it's just like if you get the crickets or like people won't like let you get it out.
That's the. I think the worst is when, even if you're hearing nothing.
Yes.
Like they say, oh my God! Like, what's the worst thing about bombing? I mean, bombing is the worst thing about bombing. It's just
right.
You're bombing. But I think the worst part of bombing, the worst type of bombing,
right.
Is when they are not even listening to you.
Yeah, that's bad.
When there's just stuff going on and they're not even listening. They're talking
they
to
don't
each other.
Care.
That's the worst. If it's complete silence, hey, at least you're listening to me.
Yeah. Or
I still have your attention.
That's right.
You may not think a shred of what I said is
or
funny.
If you're getting A-rodded, you're like, at least, oh, I, have, just at least I have their attention.
I know y'all went in on A-rod earlier, right?
Yeah, absolutely. At least all their attention is on me. I can dig out of this, maybe.
Western Echo makes a good point. The only people who can become comedians are those who have seen enough rejection in their life.
That's right. Or pain, dealt with some type of pain.
Yeah. That's usual. It's the usual thing, you know. But the thing with Cameron Diaz, and I love Cameron Diaz forever because of this. She was on a tour with Mike Myers, touring one of the Shrek movies.
Okay.
Right? And they would go up and do question and answer.
Junkets and whatnot.
Yeah. And what they would do was sometimes they would do like little improv.
Right.
Right? I don't know anything about improv. I've never done it. And she was in an interview one day and she goes, let me tell you something. Acting is easy. I was doing that comedy improv shit.
Yeah.
Comedy is hard.
Right.
She flat out in an interview said, I don't know. All these basically, I'm paraphrasing now, but all these pretentious douches right. Talking about acting, and it's like she goes, "No, fuck that. Comedy is hard.
We're acting right now,
you know." And like I said, I believe acting is a skill. I think if you do it enough, I think you can. Unless you have absolutely nothing in you that even resembles it, but I think. You know, and plus you have when you're a comic, you already have that base.
You do.
You have that thing.
You do.
It's already there.
We're performers. We're actors. We're writers. We're directors. We're producers. You guys produce
me
this
and
show
Kenny
tonight.
Me and Kenny are none of those. Things.
Directed this show tonight.
We're none of those things.
Sure,
by
you
the way.
Are.
No, trust me.
You guys got a successful
show. I always tell everybody, you know, they're like, you know, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, it's a stage play. You have
yes.
to. You're performing a stage play every single time. You perform, and it's all different.
It's
you have a block of certain things, of topics, and certain acts that you want to get to, but they're completely the windows are open.
It's open.
On them. You know what I mean? The windows are open.
It's open. That's the beauty of stand up.
That's why I always say I say Comedy Central and YouTube ruined the nightclub. They ruined the nightclub.
Oh, for people going out to it?
Yeah, because when you want to see someone, now they can go on YouTube and see a half hour set by a comedian,
right.
And then they go to the show and they've seen it, or they don't get that lights camera action. You're supposed to get dressed to the nines. You know what I mean?
Appreciate the arts.
Have a couple of drinks or something like that, or have some dinner and it's dark, and all of a sudden, boom, the lights pop on, and here's this guy.
Yeah.
Here it is, you know,
that's,
like
kind of. I know what Kenny's saying. It's like that old nightclub
old
type of
yeah,
a thing.
The smoky nightclub
yeah, just,
with the
it's,
red.
It's a vibe.
Curtains.
There's no vibe. It's like you can watch the funniest show in the world on television by yourself. You may not laugh. You'll just sit there and go, "That was funny." But when you're in a room with
lights,
other people,
camera, action, yeah. it's you're sharing the same space of someone that you want.
I would say comedy is definitely, stand-up is harder than acting, from my personal experience.
Western Echo said Kenny's a big fan of The Telegraph, too.
All right, you. That was a good one. All right.
You guys got a big fan base here.
All right, let me just get through the plugs real quick. George, I know this. We're going to have you come back.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
and
you'll
come back.
It.
Yeah, definitely. Subito, as we say in my homeland.
What are you, from Guyana?
Subito means right away in Italian. Anyway, give a plug, your Twitter or Facebook or whatever you want to plug.
Yeah, you can hit me up on Facebook. It's just George Jenkins Jr. Check out my YouTube channel, which is GeoJenk or George Jenkins Jr. You can see a lot of reels on there. I got a music video on there I did called Occupied, which is great. The New Hampshire Lottery commercial's on there. And I got some stand-up stuff on there, and the new commercial is on there.
Now, listen, when I say that YouTube ruined stand-up, is like, why'd you post your stuff? It's the new age. This is what it is now. You know what I mean? It's different from... how old are you?
I'm in my 40s.
Okay, so you remember the old
70s... Yeah, man, I came up in the 80s, man.
Exactly.
MTV used to play videos, right. Music videos.
So it's different. Now, not that I'm saying that you shouldn't post, because we all have to now.
No, I just post a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I may have like one full set on there that was like a 7-minute good set.
Right.
But I only give them maybe like a minute, no more than a minute or two.
I want
minutes.
Them to buy a ticket. If you see a little snippet, buy a ticket and come see what George is doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it always changes. So I'm, like I said, I've been writing now, so I've been changing different stuff. So, but I don't give them too much.
Yeah.
But just a little bit, just a little bit, because it's the new age.
Yeah, you have to. You absolutely have to.
All right, we got like a minute. Once again, thanks, George. You got here late, but that's cool, man. We're definitely gonna have a good time when you come back. We did a half hour with you.
Yeah,
that was it.
That was sweet.
You know,
it was
okay. We'll sink our teeth into shit.
you'll come down, and it's just a bunch of dudes, comics, just hanging out.
Just bullshit.
Get these people stop texting on the parkway, crashing.
Yeah. So just follow us on Twitter. The CNK show is. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. The website is ContiandKenny.com. Download both our podcasts, the regular podcast and Conti and Kenny Shorts on iTunes, More Like Radio, or ContiandKenny.com. And we want to thank George for coming in. And I got a lot of stuff that we can't
do. Lust and Love will be back.
Yes, Lust and Love will be on next. Don't go anywhere. P-Rock. P-Rock from the Red Show. We'll be on Less Than Love, which will be on next. So they didn't want to call in because they knew that we just got in.
Yeah,
so all right, we're out of here.
If I get home enough, I'll Skype in for him.
All right, we're out of here, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you next week.
Well, so long, loser. I'll see you next week.